Danger, danger.
All range mode.
What's going on, everybody? This is the All Range Mode Podcast, Season 1, Episode 4. We're going to talk about some video games, some movies, and just cool stuff. So, my name's Joe.
My name's Dan.
I'm Doug.
And Chad.
Hello.
Okay, so we're going to start off this week with some corrections from last week, because we do have corrections. We talked in depth about Breaking Bad Season 6, when it's actually Season 5 that we're in. I couldn't remember one of mine.
You looked at me like that was my fault.
It was...
Chad started
it. I said it because I tried to guarantee it with you first, and like verify
it. Oh, I was throwing it out there as a guarantee.
A lot of these are your fault, Doug.
Sorry.
My fault?
Well, I take blame.
Excuse me, Charlton Heston.
Actually,
Charlton Heston.
So I couldn't remember one of my top five movies, and I feel like it's an insult to the movie. It's Watchmen.
Oh yeah.
I just couldn't think of it. Sorry.
So my number four.
Yeah, it was number four. That was no particular order.
It's gotta be my number three. I fucking love that movie.
That's really.
That's a great.
I watched it recently twice. Actually.
I watched it recently twice.
Two times.
So the Charlton Heston debacle.
That was cleared up right away.
That was me, but some notable admissions to that. Doug said he was a cowboy who was in silent films and died in the 60s.
Did he die in 2007?
No, he died in 2008. Yeah. We later found out.
He's dead.
Also, he's dead. He's dead. And also... Sorry it took so long to get the show on iTunes. It actually was on iTunes, but Doug had it posted.
Oh, I knew you were going to make fun of that. Fuck you.
Doug had it posted as Doug's podcast.
To be fair, that sounds really funny, but I didn't go on fucking iTunes and make it Doug's podcast. The goddamn Podomatic auto-saved it as Doug's podcast and did it.
We should have changed the name.
So that's all cleared up. It's a Doug's podcast?
We're no longer...
It's called Doug's podcast.
We're now Doug's podcast.
So that's all cleared up, and so far we're three episodes in. I just want to say thanks for listening, everybody who's been on the Facebook and whatnot, and please tell your friends if you like listening to us. You know, we're on iTunes now, so you can subscribe and you can like us on Facebook, and it's just getting more and more out there. So thanks a lot for the support.
We're willing to discuss anything.
And
game and movie related.
Yeah, and...
I'm not related.
We are welcoming anybody who is interested, might be able to join us on the show, eventually.
What?
Absolutely.
Yeah, why not?
Fifth or like a guest appearance?
Pending the council agrees.
No. This isn't like a reoccurring guest.
Oh, just a nice little guest.
Yeah, popping in for a little bit.
I agree.
We got room at the round table.
If you have a story about farts, shit... Okay. You care to share it with everybody?
Yeah. So how's everybody doing?
Good.
It's a good week.
I was so disappointed with my "how has your week been" last week's answer. I had nothing to say. You guys all had good stuff. I just said...
What the hell did I say?
I just said nothing. I don't know.
I had more
to say to them than I had.
I won $500. It was a great fucking week.
Huh? Yeah, explain that, because you're like, I won $500. And I was like, how? And everyone asked how, and you did not reply to that text. Not once.
Saving it for here.
When you didn't reply, I was like, it was probably fucking GoDaddy. And he was like, it was your credit card, so he's not telling us.
None of us even talk to each other about anything anymore, because it's all saved for the podcast now. So during the week, it's like...
We share it with everyone. we talked
over poutines this afternoon.
I missed the poutine.
We're going to post a picture of our Costco poutine adventure on the Facebook, so look forward to it.
That's not fair.
Is it the ketchup?
Ketchup. Poutine ketchup? Absolutely.
I have to try that. That sounds disgusting, but...
It's outstanding.
It's amazing. It tastes best on the Costco poutine, too.
Agreed.
Oh, I love it.
Salted feast. Anyways, yeah. $500. It was just from school. I went to orientation before school started in August.
All right.
And they were just like... They were giving out swag. Like, I'm sucker for it. I want it. So... Just to get this shitty shirt that I'm never going to wear... To get the shirt, you have to sign up for a draw.
Okay.
And I signed up for the draw just like in passing. and got an email from this, like, the girl at student services.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you won $500, you need to come over and pick it up. Like, we tried calling you, but you didn't answer.
What?
And I was like, what the hell is this? So I get out of class, I call them up, and I was like, okay, what kind of scam is this? I was like, what do you need from me in order for me to get that? She said, nothing, you just signed up and you won.
Yeah.
So I went to the office, they had a check with my name on it for $500.
Nice. I thought it would be like directly off tuition or something, but you probably have that paid as
I can't believe you didn't buy a 3DS XL.
I was just asking
$500 for this.
I'll tell you what it is.
Jesus.
It's a 3DS XL.
I know.
Oh, we're in...
You could buy two.
We're in Best Buy. We're in Best Buy and we're looking for a 3DS XL. We wanted to see it. And Doug runs over. He's got this one in his hand and he just goes... Oh my god. He's holding it. Chad walks over and goes, that's a fucking DS XL. Just like, oh, it's like, it's hard to tell because it's just,
yeah,
it's just
yeah,
the
it's
screen.
Like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell because it's not 3D.
Yeah, that's why. Well, you know what? I don't give a shit about the 3D though. I just want to play the 3D games in 2D on the 3DS XL.
Hey, Super Mario 3D Land is one of the best games of.
Agreed.
This
but
generation.
I played the whole game in 2D.
You know what, I find that
the 3D
if you
made that game better.
I find if if you just hit the 3D a little bit, not so it's jumping right out, and 3D
Yeah, just a tiny little bit.
3D Land has this option where it pushes the screen inward for depth instead of pulling things out.
Yeah.
And that
I
is so
like
much
that.
Better.
Well,
it's 100%
it's really
better.
Cool.
When I played Super Mario 3D, it was like I could tell parts were made to be played in 3D, so I would turn on the 3D for those parts.
And it looks so
that.
Much it, that's
that
it's
I really
crazy
enjoyed.
Because it looks that good.
But then I would leave it on and just get a headache.
Well,
get like,
oh, yeah.
Like when you're trying to read in a car and you get that weird speed
feeling. Yeah.
I would get that from
when you look back to like regular reality from looking at that thing for too long, just...
drives you crazy.
Crooked eyes.
From what I hear, the like the 3DS XL screen is like it's almost twice as big. And I hear it makes a big difference for the 3D, so...
The battery life is substantially better, too.
But the resolution hasn't changed.
No.
All they did was stretch the screen.
So does it look...
You know what, though? I think it warrants the extra $40.
Oh,
yeah. Pay extra $40, get a 90% bigger screen.
Thanks.
Sure thing.
They're going to come up
and
with another next year that's going to be better.
Did you see the right thumb stick?
I hate that bullshit. Like...
What? It's just like a attachment or something?
Yeah.
Or is it a new 3DS XL again? They're
no,
going to
release... Little thing that you like click onto the side of it or something like that.
You know what? It's designed poorly, but it's probably fun to play with dual analog.
You know the thing, I was looking at that. If they were to like add that onto the 3DS, it would look exactly like a Wii U controller. Although it would have a second screen, a 3D screen. But
yeah.
Like it's laid out the exact same and they could have just done that. It's like
some like synergy, some some brand continuity.
Yeah, they always try to do that, like with
mm-hmm.
I don't know the Game Boy Advance and GameCube and stuff.
Any other interesting stories?
No, not really.
My kid fell down the stairs.
Whoa!
Yeah, it was like a 13 stair.
Jesus.
It was carpeted, so she didn't get hurt, but it was like the scariest goddamn thing.
Jesus.
The reason I couldn't save her, I was standing right there. I couldn't save her because I was holding Max, my 4-week old, and it's like the moment I'm usually pretty quick to react, right? Like if in high energy situations.
Yeah, I'd agree.
And so I'm holding Max; he's in his car seat, and like right hand was reaching out to put him down, and left hand was reaching out to grab Lena as she was like falling down the first stair.
Yeah.
And it was just like I had to; one of them had to go. And it was just like, I felt it happen. It was like, lean back to put Max down.
Just
safely. And Lena just started going down the stairs. And I like chased her down the stairs. And she's like she's really little still, right? So she's just tumbling. She's almost 5. I should have made that clear.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And she just stood up as soon as she hit the bottom. And she was like, all scared. And I knew that she was fine at that point. So like, I grab her and I was just like, that's why you don't play on the stairs.
Was it the stairs at your house?
No, it was at her, it was at Shelby's uncle's house.
Mm.
So, she's like, I wasn't playing down the stairs. I was like, okay, alright, that's fine. You were playing. You were playing.
Kids?
She was really,
like, just fear?
Yeah.
You're invincible.
I was white as a ghost. I was ready to pass out after watching her do that.
Oh,
she fell down the stairs and literally probably landed on her feet. If I fell on the stairs, I'm out of work for 4 months. I'm gonna be laying in my bed,
coma.
Like, oh fuck!
Mm,
like,
dead.
I'm
so
back.
I think I was gonna carry her back up the stairs, but I was like, this is a moment where she can overcome like a fear. I put her back down and I was like, okay, let's go back upstairs, and like made her walk back up the stair set. And she was just like, oh,
nice
man.
Move.
She's like, oh, that was crazy. I fell right down those stairs.
yeah, you did.
Yeah. Some really good parenting skills.
Thank you. I have some really bad parenting habits too. I'm sure every parent does.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's all right. You guys know that band LMFAO?
Yeah.
Show me somebody they broke up today.
Oh, really?
It's a loss.
Oh, man.
The reason that's relevant is because I had to learn the party rock anthem this week, the shuffle.
For what?
So I can do the shuffle.
Where'd you learn it?
For my sister's wedding.
Oh,
we had to like do dance lessons and stuff.
When
like
is that?
Next Saturday.
So I kind of lied. I lied a little bit. I did do something interesting this week. There was the midnight release for Borderlands.
Ooh!
You went to that?
I did. I left work at 11 for 12 o'clock to get it, which is fine. There were like 75 people in line.
Wow.
And I felt like the coolest person in the world. Like, there was a guy dressed up like as the Gunzerker. He's just a really short, fat guy. Who's like,
he dressed up?
Like,
where'd
fucking
you go?
Perfect.
At EB?
At EB. On Walker.
God.
Why did you feel cool?
Because everyone was so
nerdy. That guy was
nerdy.
Cool, man.
Yeah, but dude.
No, he was not cool.
Like, at those events, you're not cool if you're not one of them.
If you're not dressed up.
If you're
know.
Not dressed up, man.
I
you're the odd man out.
I kind of take pride in the fact that, like, I'm a big gamer. It's pretty fucking obvious. I own, like, 75 Xbox games. I got an 80,000 gamer score. Like, that's a lot of games. If you didn't know, like, if you didn't know me and I didn't tell you I play games, you couldn't just look at me and be like, man, he's a gamer.
I don't know. Remember when we saw your doppelganger waiting in line for, what game was that?
That was weird.
We have a picture of that. We should post that picture.
Yeah, there was
the guy head to toe, same outfit as Dan.
My coat,
same fucking coat.
I didn't know why my coat
was up. Arms in the hood, just or arms in the sweater pocket.
I didn't even buy my fucking coat in Canada. I bought it in the States.
That was Movember too, and he had a mustache.
I had a mustache. Yeah,
that's crazy.
He was skinnier than me, and he had glasses on. That's like the only difference. That was interesting.
You know, I feel we sometimes take that coolness factor when we're camping out at places. Like, oh, we're the coolest people here. But we're the first people in line.
That's true.
We get there at
we're
like
not,
4 p.m.
No, because there's always the really nerdy group.
Okay, now, like
fucking...
if you would have called in sick, which we have done in the past...
Well, if it was Halo, it was a little different.
Exactly.
It was just Borderlands 2.
I'm
going to
skip
casual
school.
Midnight.
I'm going to fucking fail everything just to be there for Halo.
Yeah.
I booked 3 days off leading up to...
I mean...
Wii U launch. I booked the days off of the schedule. My manager was just like, oh, what do you got going on? Are you going on vacation or anything? I was like, no, me and my friends are waiting for the new Nintendo system in the parking lot. And she was just like,
you're
cool.
It's weird because nobody would guess it. I don't
need
that
tote bag.
Like, if we're being judged by the shit that we talk about on the show,
oh my God.
It would be hilarious to ask a stranger what we look like. Or how we dress, or something
yeah.
like that. You
please
know?
Draw us.
Or how old
you
can
look to us.
Or how old we are.
I guess I could kind of
you
retract
guys are
that
20,
statement.
Right?
Okay, I have to retract that statement, I guess. I'm not the coolest guy in line. Like, I tried to promote the podcast a little bit at work, and you know how shop guys are. They're all like, fucking titties. Fucking beer. Like, actually, I'm not even joking. A saying at work that people walk around and just yell out of nowhere is, titties and beer! Titties and beer! That's all you ever hear.
What is it? What are you supposed to do when you hear it?
You
call
just,
it back?
Everybody just, yeah.
They're just shouting out, like, I have nothing interesting to say.
I have nothing, yeah.
There was a caption. Like,
titties and beer, right? And that's all it is. So, like, I'm at work, I'm like, hey, guys, I started doing this podcast with my friends about gaming and movies, and they're all like, you're a fucking loser.
I work with a woman. She has a 22-year-old son.
Fuck those guys.
I think he's...
Oh, I agree.
I think
go listen to Joe Rogan suck his penis.
Yeah, I think her son is 22. He's into Magic. I know that he plays another card game, and I think he's playing WoW. And I was like, that's perfect. Like he's the, like the target freaking market, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, like young, like early 20s, kind of nerdy. And she was like, whoa. He's not nerdy. And I had to explain to her. I'm like, no, you don't understand.
Nerdy is not necessarily a bad.
The nerd that we want.
Yeah,
there was a battle and we won. That's why Avengers is the most successful movie of all time.
Yeah.
And everybody's using smartphones, like computer phones, type, type, type.
Type on your,
on your computer phone. And, you know, like, hipster's the big thing, and it's based on, like, exploiting nerd culture. So I had to explain that to her. That was pretty funny.
Speaking of Magic the Gathering cards.
Make sure you're not pulling the...
Yeah, that's good. Chad and I were at the mall earlier today, and we went to that Game City booth.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Where they sell Pokemon cards. And we asked him how much a first edition Charizard holographic would go for. And he explained to us that the Windsor markets dried up.
Really?
Out of the city, he can get about $250
Shut
for
the
first
fuck
edition.
Up. $250.
I had that card.
I had that card too. I paid $10 for it.
I still have my Pokemon card.
I sold you all mine.
Yeah. Thank you.
And then we
did
talked
you have my Charizard? No, I sold that.
Yeah, I didn't have
did you get $50 for it? That was
I
what it was worth when we were 13.
You know,
now
what happened?
It's worth $250.
That was like my biggest Pokemon card story ever, which is even embarrassing to talk about, but it's like, I was babysitting my little cousin, who was my second cousin, and my first cousin. No.
You sold Charizard.
No, shut the fuck up, let me finish my story.
Oh, this is a fantastic story.
Jody's like, I don't really have that much money to pay you. This was my crackhead cousin who I babysat her kid just because she had nobody else. So we're at fucking 7-Eleven, and it's the last pack of Pokemon cards. I'm like, oh, it's going to be shit. It's the last pack.
Well, it's random.
Exactly, but I always used to feel around and be like, yeah.
You're a pessimist.
Shut up.
I did that too.
I would feel around.
Pessimist.
Pessimist?
Not pessimist.
Pessimist?
At least we corrected ourselves now and not next episode.
Hey, you feel
the wrong
way. Anyway,
I don't know every word, all right?
It was the last pack. The very last pack they had in store, and I bought it.
And there was a Charizard in it. You deserved that.
It was
running everybody else's story.
It was the last... Thanks, Dick. It was the last card that you're scrolling through, too. Like, I open it up, and I'm like, cool.
Oh, energy card.
God!
Yeah, energy cards.
Holographic first edition
nice.
Charizard. I sold it for $50, and then I bought more Pokemon cards, and they were all garbage.
The best one I ever got was a holographic Zapdos. That was a really good day.
I can't talk about that with a straight face.
What?
What were the stories that Dan ruined on past episodes? Yours was the Thor Netflix?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
let me guess, Thor was on Netflix.
Thor was on Netflix.
What was I telling? I was telling him last week, but you know you can listen to last week's show.
Please do, actually.
So that was a fun little chat.
Okay,
I used to spend hundreds.
Hundreds of dollars.
Okay.
My Pokemon cards.
I sound like I still do. All right, that's. Everybody, that's something we do as well. Every now and again, our voice cracks, and we do a. And what you have to do, you have to tease yourself before everybody else teases you because they are just an asshole.
I think in that situation,
anyway,
we had teased you.
Yeah, I lost.
That's why.
Or else you can't get to sleep that night because you're thinking about it.
Did they notice?
Did they catch me?
Yeah, you have to call it out when you do it. You're like, ah! I do that with strangers. like people that don't do that in their group of friends.
I feel like I've done that too, like first dates. I'm like, hey, how's it going? I just look at them like, what? You ever trying to hold one?
Why'd you make that noise?
You ever trying to hold a crack? Today I was on the crack. I used to try that.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, continue. Chad just fell off.
Why did you make that sound?
Yeah, they're just like...
Moving on.
Before we move on, I'd like to say, though,
$100.
If I could make any movie or game universe reality, I would choose the Pokemon universe.
Absolutely. Alright, round table. Round table.
I just wanted to get that out there before we moved on.
What would you catch?
First?
Yeah, what's...
Well,
it's not
what you would catch first. It's like you wake up in the town, you go out, you're catching fucking Pidgeons all day until
work
your way up.
Well, what's your goal? I'm going for Gorilla.
What do you mean, Gorilla?
Gorilla! I'm throwing a gorilla into fights.
A real one?
Yeah, I mean, if it's Earth, catching animals.
I'm talking about the Pokemon live on Earth.
I'm going for fucking gorilla.
If it was animals, like Earth animals, and it was Pokemon rules, where you had to search around and look for animals...
Probably... Whale. Like, a giant whale! That I could just ride all across the ocean.
Mine would be little bitch.
The cowboy?
Little bitch, my old little bitch. when I get to go play with another Pokemon and you're in the south.
What could destroy
just a boom. Just a whale.
A whale. I would live in the ocean and ride on its back everywhere I need to.
I choose you. Blue whale. Alright, I guess your blue whale would take out my gorilla.
I saw something on the internet saying
that what would win.
It was a picture of a whale's heart, and it was saying that children could swim through the veins of this thing's heart. That's how big its heart
is. A blue whale?
Yeah. Or, I don't know. I don't know what kind of whale it is. I'm just saying.
The big one.
Who has the big one?
Okay, the big one. Did you see that? Kyle saying that.
I did see that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Am I right? That's what it said.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm all paranoid.
I'm a little skeptical. Why children?
Dude, I saw it on the internet.
Oh, so it was.
Okay, don't debate it. I saw it on fucking some blog.
We've gone very off topic. We started talking
there about... There was no topic.
Well, I started off by talking about... I went to a midnight release for Borderlands, and we just got to... My favorite Pokemon is Whale. No,
I've been laughing too much. I'm ruining all of this.
No, it's good.
It's
good.
Very funny.
It's like...
You have an effect.
I like that feature base. I like the talk a lot.
Okay, so what would you guys choose as your alternate universe?
I don't know.
You agree with me on Pokemon, Joe?
I think that'd
be
awesome.
Be fucking
I've always thought about that.
Yeah,
I would give me some time to think about it.
I wanted a Pikachu following.
I've just known all along that ever since I first saw Pokemon that
dude,
that's the alternate universe.
The first line in the fucking song. I want to be the very best. It's like, yes, I'm in. Great, I'm done.
Teach Pokemon to understand the power that's inside.
That was my ringtone for a while.
You know it's my destiny. My favorite part is when it's like you teach me and I'll teach you, and then just four part harmony.
Catch 'em all.
You pretty much did the entire rendition of the song.
Yeah,
almost.
You have to.
Let's keep joking and joke, and then let the entire song.
Well, does anyone have any non-game or movie-related stuff that they wanted to bring up before we move on?
Non-game or movie-related?
I just bought at Toys R Us a Frodo Lord of the Rings cookware Lego set, which I wanted to build on the podcast.
It's got a Lego sausage, and it's the funniest thing.
Which I wanted to build on the podcast, but it wouldn't go over well. You know, we'll post it on the website.
We were
running around.
He's got an oven, and Frodo's making an oven. Or, like, he's making a sausage in the oven.
It's only about 12 Lego pieces.
That's fucking weird. Why is that even sold?
No,
listen to me.
Maybe it's in the market.
I'm listening.
We were in Toys R Us.
Mm-hmm.
Not for parody, but reality, walking around like children in Toys R Us. Like, we were the same kind of excited that a child would be. And we're running around looking for cool stuff, and we get to the... Lego.
So that's no. I ran into you at the Lego section. Like our paths met.
No, I was looking for him, and I walked over. I'm like, I'm surprised you guys aren't in the Lego Star Wars section. And Doug's like, where is it? I know. He's looking for it. I'm like, oh, it's this way. So we run over and we awed all the Lego.
That shit's expensive.
It's so expensive.
It's amazing.
X-Wing is $80. I want that.
Like this big, the size of a basketball, maybe.
Yeah, well, maybe a little bit bigger.
$80. That's fucked.
So
man.
Anyway, there's this like regular paper printout advertisement saying.
I like how you pointed out it was a regular.
Yeah, it's not any marketing material. It's just printed out from the back printer.
Yeah, that's what they always.
Free Frodo Cook Center, whatever it was, with a $35 purchase of Lego Lord of the Rings. So we're looking at this thing and we're like arguing. Like, I'm like, I think you have to buy something and then you get it. No, 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 no way, no way. And we're just bickering inside.
That's $4,000 value.
So we call over this 19-year-old kid and it's like, sir? Sir? And he walks over and we're like, can you buy this separately or do you have to pay the $35? And the guy, he just looks at us and goes, I don't know.
And we're like, annoying him.
Yeah.
Really?
And he's just like, I don't know. And we're like, oh, well, and then this dad is like, guys, it's over here. And we all run over to it like, oh my gosh, there it is! Doug just rips it off the thing like, yes!
So you pay $5 for this little fucking...
Yes, and I can't wait to build it. And
it's
then
awesome.
It's
on the way
pieces.
Out,
you can build it right now. Just like, drop it on the table.
It's
probably
more than five
pieces.
I think it's like 22 pieces.
There was a Gandalf like firework carriage like from the beginning scene
yeah,
of
yeah.
the Fellowship.
Oh, you should have bought that, dude.
I do regret not buying it, but...
It's still there.
I wanted that little Gandalf like... Like Lego, that'd be the coolest thing.
It would be on your dash in your car.
There's a picture on the back of the box of Gandalf feeding a carrot to a horse. Thought that was the funniest thing that he's ever seen.
It's not in the movie at all.
Look at the scene. Look at it. Just this little Lego figurine feeding a horse.
That's good.
And then on the way out, I saw a Super Mario. What do you call those things? Little vending machine.
Flush.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You could win like a keychain, and it was a toonie, and I put the toonie in, hoping to win the ghost figure, but I won the stomp block.
Thwomp.
Okay.
Thwomp. That's it.
So yeah, I'm probably gonna put that on my keychain. Yeah.
I actually want to try my luck with $2.
Give it a shot.
The odds are you're gonna get a bad one. There's more bad than good in there.
There's about 3 good ones and 9 bad ones.
So I'm spending.
I didn't get the one I wanted, but I got one I liked.
You got one of the best ones.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. It was worth $2.
There's
I'm feeling
the
great.
Mario one, which is kind of crazy.
No.
Yeah, they're just bad guys.
Yeah, there's only bad guys.
Is there Bowser?
I suppose this could segue directly into the Hobbit trailer. Who watched? Who got a chance to see that piece of
masterpiece?
I did.
Do you
guys remember when they announced that it was going to be 3 movies, and we talked about it for about a week? We spent every single passing moment
talking about whether it was a good idea
or a bad idea. When I saw that trailer, I was like, "Give me as much as you can. Just throw it at me whenever you want."
Is it impressive?
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Because as far seeing all those,
it is more slapsticky.
All
like
the dwarves,
more,
and they all look very similar. And all
like the Hobbit, really the Hobbit is,
but
yeah,
slapsticky.
Yeah. You didn't watch the trailer?
No.
The first trailer, though, when they introduced the 30 seconds of them being slapsticky, and then the song starts, like, after that, it was just like, when I saw that, I was like, okay, like, it's slapsticky, whatever, and then that song started, and it started showing the action scenes in the movie with the trolls and stuff.
There's a dragon,
and it
correct.
Blew my fucking mind.
Yeah, awesome. I don't think they'll show Smaug till the movie.
Second movie.
I am super
excited. What was the Smeagol thing? If he loses the game of wits, he eats the Hobbit whole or something like that. Schmeagol eats him whole.
Fair enough. Is the 25th Tuesday?
It comes out on the 14th. But
excuse me, I'm talking about something a little different.
What the hell?
September 25th. Is September 25th this Tuesday?
Okay.
It is. Avengers comes out finally. That's the only other movie I'm excited to see.
Motherfucker, I downloaded that shit 2 weeks ago.
You don't have Blu-ray quality.
You don't. You don't have any extras, so.
Word. I'm sorry, I keep clearing my throat. There's something about this old movie that's eating me up.
Chocolate Millings.
For my.
Okay.
Also, I wanted to know last week when you said Darcy said Millink.
Millings.
Past the Millings.
I've never heard him say that.
It's just like...
That was Mike's grandpa.
No.
That was my joke for Mike's grandpa.
I know.
My joke for Mike's grandpa.
Darcy says, milk.
Milk.
M-I-L-M-K.
Milk. Not Millings. But he does say, like...
Milk? Milk?
Milk.
Milk.
Nasally.
Oh, I didn't say it.
Milk.
Milk.
It sounds...
Mike's grandpa said milks.
I don't know what he said. Why you not drinking chocolate milk?
Milk.
Hey, Mike Gilly, why you not drinking your chocolate milk?
Now he sounds like Machete. But okay.
Mike Gilly.
He took Spanish.
I'm just gonna rifle through some things here. Did you guys see the RoboCop outfit? We're
talking
about. I didn't much care.
RoboCop last week. I think it looks like Shepard. If you color Shepard's armor in Mass Effect.
Oh,
if you color. If you cover
it
all black.
Did you see the picture?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
The way
the original one.
It was a great redesign.
It was good, it's hideous.
The way but it looks more like a robot. A robot. It looks more like a robot, I would say, than a guy in a suit.
It's interesting that they choose these, like, ridiculous movies to remake. Because, I mean, the story is ridiculous. He's a half robot, half human cop.
In Detroit.
That could fly in the 80s, but not now.
The other ones were too.
I can't wait until they erect that RoboCop statue in Hart Plaza. We gotta go.
Erect it?
Yeah. Is that actually going up? Or is that rumored?
It's going up.
That's awesome. I'm gonna
it's
sell
going
this
up.
Gun.
As far as my,
I hope he has a gun. No, they're not gonna have a gun like on a statue in Detroit. It's gonna be in a suit.
It'll be
People sell that gun. Steal it. They'll break his arm off. Steal the gun.
Is it George Foreman's fist? Like the whole
no, it's Joe Louis.
That's what I meant.
Like the
Joe Louis Arena. Makes sense.
George Foreman.
I'm hungry.
George Foreman Arena.
Yeah, the RoboCop news is kind of relevant. We're talking.
Where
about
the Red Wings play? George Foreman.
George Foreman.
The George Foreman girl.
Yeah.
Grab me a beer, son.
When I when I play Mass Effect, my good character is dressed in all white, like a stormtrooper. That's how I got into Mass Effect. I was like, I have to make this as much like Star Wars as I can, just for the initial breakthrough.
Yes.
And wow. Sorry, guys. And RoboCop looks just like my renegade character who was dressed in all black.
Nice.
Also,
it does look cool. It looks a lot better than the
original. You know what? Those
Think you so?
No, I'm okay. The set photos, they never look as good, you know, as the movie.
Oh yeah, because it's like press taking a picture. It's like there's nothing.
Yeah, there's no
like,
lighting or anything like that.
Yeah.
Doug, we're kind of moved on to movies now. You were the only one at the table, I think, that saw Super. With Rainn Wilson, did you see that?
Super.
Yeah, he's a superhero. It's kind of like Kick-Ass, but it's got Rainn Wilson in it.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh.
Well, I saw the beginning of it.
I saw Chronicle.
No, different guy. The reason I brought that up is director James Gunn got confirmed as Guardians of the Galaxy director. You know, the Marvel Phase 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the cartoon one?
No, it's not a
cartoon.
No, but there's a talking raccoon, and it's full of aliens, and it's a team. It's like an Avengers team, but all alien. And
is that
going to
be a Fox picture or
no?
Like
it's
Marvel
part
Marvel.
Of the Marvel universe. Like
oh.
It's part of the Avengers canon now.
Awesome.
This sounds weak. Did you say it's a monkey?
No, there's a talking raccoon.
Oh.
So I'm wondering how they're going to pull that off. I was because I thought you had seen Super, so I was going to ask you about this guy and see if he was good. So I don't really have any movie news. I didn't watch any movies. I did watch a lot of TV, but I was thinking maybe we can run through the movies real quick.
Yeah.
So who's, yeah.
I watched Pineapple Express again. Just a late night watch. It's funny.
The movie's...
James Franco is like the perfect fucking stoner. Like, that movie is so funny just watching him and like his eyes. There's like one scene where like they're talking back and forth like just after they smoked in his apartment, and I never even caught it the first time. Each time that it goes back, their eyes are a little more closed. And by the time like it gets towards the end of it, their eyes are just like slivers, and they're like, "Yeah, man,
he's hilarious in Your Highness."
I haven't seen that movie.
It's really
I'm gonna watch it.
Joe and I watched it, and we're just dying.
Yeah, when he sings with what's that woman's name? Or
Natalie Portman.
Zoe.
Oh, Zoe Deschanel. Yeah.
They sing. They have a duet. James Franco's just got the worst singing voice. But
what
he's totally...
stocked cast in that movie.
Yeah. Well, they got lucky, right? Like, I remember hearing stories. Who's the main character? What's his
name? McBride?
Yeah, he was on a bunch of talk shows to promote the movie, and they had filmed Your Highness long before it got released, and it was starring James Franco and Natalie Portman. They were just looking for something to do. While it was in post, both James Franco and Natalie Portman both got nominated for Oscars. I think, did James Franco win for 127 Hours?
No.
Natalie Portman won an Oscar
for Black Swan.
So it's like now, after they've both done huge breakout roles, they're both in this vulgar comedy. And Danny McBride's just like, I don't give a shit, whatever. Like, it's going to be good for like the commercials. They're like, James Franco, Oscar nominated.
Does anybody else find Danny McBride a little overrated?
His character is a little bit...
He doesn't overdo it, though. Like, Seth Rogen's a similar guy, and he does way too many movies. Danny McBride, like... I mean, he's in that show, he's bound down or whatever, but...
Is he the same character?
He continually plays the cocky, or the jackass character, yeah.
Because, like, how do you...
That Seth Rogen kind of plays a similar character in every movie.
Zach Galifianakis.
I was just going to say, but...
Zach Galifianakis,
I can't
the same,
fucking
which is crazy, because the guy's hilarious in his stand-up, but then he just plays the same.
You know what? I love him in Bored to Death. That was one of my favorite TV shows, and I'm so pissed HBO canceled it. I love that fucking show.
You just like that guy.
I do like that guy.
I watched that. I also watched Get Him to the Greek again.
I haven't seen that.
I love Get Him to the Greek.
Which is also very funny. Like,
yeah.
Surprisingly funny on a rewatch.
The best is when he gets pumped with adrenaline.
Yeah.
And then when he's in the cab, he's just like,
ah! Yeah, he gets the seal. He's just like, going back and forth with his head. And he's like, what are you doing? Stop doing
this.
This
isn't cool. Nobody can see what I'm doing, but... You drive both of his fists into the top of the ceiling of the car there.
Even though he's yelling no, there's like, no!
No!
No! No! Just, I thought that was funny. That was one of the parts I laughed the hardest, actually. I don't know why.
that guy's kind of the same in a lot of his roles.
I like
He does it well.
Dude,
like
he's in Moneyball, and he's fucking...
I haven't seen Moneyball.
He's awesome in Moneyball. He's awesome in 21 Jump Street. He's never really doing the same... He's just...
Dude, he's the same guy in 21 Jump Street as he is in Get Him to the Greek.
Exactly.
Same character.
He is He's similar. I'll give you that. But I do like that character more than
I like him. No, he does it well. That's my point.
I would say Dan McBride's a little worse as far as a specific character.
I agree.
And Galifianakis I'm done with already.
Oh,
I've already written him off. Saw the campaign. Like a few
You've seen
it? Heard very bad things.
It's horrible. Will Ferrell can sell horses too. He's so Yeah, I said it. Everybody's all excited.
Watch the other guys.
I did.
That's the
best.
Oh my
it's
god.
It's funny.
So
don't get me wrong. It's funny, but it's
still
so
Will Ferrell.
Bad.
You big boy now? Got your big boy pants on?
The whole pimp thing's pretty
Stop
funny.
Stop it, man. You're scaring me.
Okay, that's. I don't know why that one's funny, but it is. But all this hype
you
for
know
Anchorman 2, I don't give a shit.
Will Ferrell is spread very thin, I feel, with his... He's in a couple movies a year, isn't he?
But
Anchorman 2 is going to be funny.
Yeah.
Step Brothers is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's so fucking funny in it. But, continue, anyone else see anything? That was
I watched
for me.
District 9 and 300.
300,
Are you as pleased with District 9 as I was?
I am.
There's something about that.
Oh,
movie,
I also watched Inception, and... realized a lot of things I didn't like about it.
Really?
I turned down
the part. Okay.
Chance to watch it.
There were a couple parts where I was watching it that were actually laughable that I noticed. Like, when Leo's explaining to the girl, what's her name? Ellen Page?
Oh, yeah.
Ellen Page, how the whole Inception thing works. Or not the Inception thing, but like the dream thing that puts him to sleep. And he's just talking, and JGL's over by this thing, and he's explaining the time difference to her. About how, like, whatever, and he just chimes in 5 years in the, or 5 minutes in the real time, 5 years in the dream time. And it's just like, okay, that was a little much. And the part where they're making the dream with her, and then they walk up the thing together, they both, Leo and her, Ellen Page, take, like, they both take a step forward at the same time and start walking up the thing. It's like, I don't know. But like, I think you said that. The first hour of it is kind of like, they lay it on so thick, trying to get you to understand it. And it was
been,
really good first watch through, but I noticed some things.
It would have been a worse movie without that. Because you knew kind of what your borders were and what your limits were. You weren't, like, the idea of you're in a dream, so why can't there be, like, you know, shape-shifting, which they kind of actually did do that.
No, I agree.
But,
I just think
like,
they showed it in
just disappearing and ever flying. Like, there is rules to the dream state, and you have to explain it to them. The big thing that they had to explain was the fact that the subject has to believe that they're in reality. So it's like you have to be close to, and there was a lot going into that movie, and it would have crumbled without those rules outlined for us. It's just, you know...
Definitely, like, no movie's perfect, and I love that movie, obviously, it's great, but just upon that rewatch, I noticed a couple
flaws. Did you guys hear the thing, I think you showed this to Kyle Chet, where there's that big hubbub about he spins the top at the end of the movie?
Yeah, that's why we rewatched
it. I wanted to explain this right now.
Go ahead.
Like, his totem, what they call the totem, like, that keeps you, like, if you have this certain piece, it means that you're in reality. And Leonardo's reality, he didn't have his ring. He had Maul's little spinny thing. And when in a dream, he had the ring on because he was still married in the dream kind of things, because he always seen her all the time. And at the end, he spins that thing, and he spins it with his left hand, and you see that he's not wearing the ring.
So I mean,
so you know for sure that it is reality.
Yeah.
That's really cool how they put that in there, because... You know, to the masses, it's like, oh, we got this ending, like, was it? And, you know, it's nothing over the top, like, oh, it was still a good ending with
that. I didn't get that.
But
I read it, like, 2 days ago.
Oh, that's, but what I'm saying is, if you really, really look into it,
yeah.
You can find that.
I
it's
like
cool that
that
is
yeah,
there.
Sure.
I like that Christopher Nolan never said anything about it. He just kind of let
it just
talk
was.
About it and grow and have ideas and things like that. My secret theory about that is that that ending wasn't planned. And
you think so? I think
yeah,
it was planned.
I think they spun the top and he kept the camera on it and it went for really long. He was like, this is kind of tense. And
oh, come
just,
on.
And he just kept it. I have a theory that that's how
I think
that's
the exact opposite. I think that's what they did for the masses. And then for the
they
nerds
just,
like us, it's like they did the wedding ring thing so you would know for sure.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue about it.
I think that was an accident.
That's a brilliant ending.
I'm really watching it.
This an accident.
Something that he rewrote over 10 years. He was just like,
yeah.
You know what? Oh, it's going longer. Let's cut it.
So you don't think that happened?
I don't think that happened.
Yeah, because didn't he go back like to, like he was writing it during Memento.
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
I didn't know that.
He's been writing it for a while.
Did Jonathan Nolan write it with him or just him?
Yeah. The thing, I love the way that guy writes movies. The I think his most impressive script or idea was with Prestige, where the story, for the majority of the movie, the story is told by each character reading the other's diary. And that's how the scenes you're seeing is each of them reading each other's diaries. And like, I never even picked up on that until the second time I watched it. I was like, this is crazy, because they steal each other's diaries and add in them and like put notes and stuff and shit in them. And it's just, that movie's really, really...
Remember last week when we were talking about just looking for a movie on IMDb or something and being pleasantly surprised by the low rating or something?
Yeah.
The best experience I ever had in my life was with The Prestige. I was on IMDb and I was like, Christopher Nolan.
Nice.
I like Batman. Inception's coming out soon. Okay, I'll watch this. And I was just like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
This movie is phenomenal.
I had the same sort of experience. Joe was just
I haven't had that since, like, 3 years ago.
I was like, Joe, give me a good movie where I can watch it and it has, like, a twist. Something I haven't seen. He's like, you ever heard of The Prestige? He's like, I actually haven't even heard of it. Let's watch it. Just watched it at his house, me and him alone at, like, 2 o'clock
Why
in the morning. And I was like...
Great movie.
To the TV.
Totally underrated.
Totally loved it. Yeah, underrated movie. You know, it's not in the Nolan box set. Is that?
It wasn't in the Nolan box set.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
I don't want to say for sure. One was missing, and it wasn't the bad one. The first movie you did. Yeah. That was in the box set. So it was either Memento or The Prestige that was missing from the box
set. It wasn't Memento. Memento was in it.
Okay, then it was Prestige.
Pending confirmation on the next
episode.
This
is a HMV Blu-ray bundle pack Joe and I were considering buying.
It was
$50.
I
don't know if it was. It was just like Nolan
Blu-ray?
Trilogy.
Yeah.
Blu-ray. It was $50 for
four
Nolan movies.
No, there's five.
Excluding Batman's?
Including Batman's.
Why including Batman?
Not the Nolan movies out there. It was Batman
Maybe
Begins and
more.
Dark Knight. Batman Begins, Dark Knight, Insomnia...
And
Memento.
I feel like WB owns those things, and they would never like license them out to put in a.
They did.
Box. Well,
it's
just
a box set. Yeah,
there's a box set. Is that it for movies?
I seen Prometheus.
Interesting.
Did you see it in the theaters, or is this the first time?
I didn't see it in theaters.
This is your first time.
I'm waiting to watch.
What
that
did
alone.
You think? Because I don't think I got to talk to anybody about that movie.
I loved it for the first hour.
So did I.
The first hour, they put like that whole aspect of like. Discovery and creationism.
The
like,
world is amazing. It's beautiful.
Yeah, they land on this planet that was made by like the forerunners or like a people that made us kind of thing.
Yeah,
and I don't know. It's just so cool. They enter the atmosphere and then they see things that are just like that is not natural. Like that was made by something.
Mm-hmm.
And just that whole discovery aspect is like this is really cool, really engaging. And then. The second hour, it just becomes like a crappy horror movie.
But like going back to that, I feel I don't know. The whole creation thing is kind of why I feel the movie sucked.
That's
because they went so far into that that they couldn't get out of it. I remember the movie getting to a point and just thinking, I've been in the theater for an hour and a half. This movie's only, whatever, 3 hours long. They can't explain everything that's happened in a good way.
Well,
and all this, I'm still expecting all these things to happen.
From what I hear, it's act one of a trilogy.
Yeah.
That's
Which I can't
saying,
wait to see the end of. I don't like that girl, though.
The
main girl. The
fact
girl,
that they call it an alien
bad,
prequel.
She's hideous.
But doesn't mean
nobody called it an alien prequel except for, nosy fans.
Trust me, it's an alien prequel.
Oh, yeah, no,
they
I
put
know
a little,
it's
they put
to
just
an
enough
prequel.
In there. To
no,
be
no,
alien.
But
very,
it wasn't,
very
yeah, yeah, but it wasn't promoted as an alien sequel
yeah,
or an alien prequel. No, it was, I remember there was news. There was news out that Ridley Scott was going back to the Alien franchise, and then as soon as promotional material for Prometheus started or like filming, they cut out all the Alien references so it could be kind of a surprise. But guys like us, we're connected to
the internet.
We're so deep in. Yeah,
it.
We're so, that was a twist ending that was supposed to be rewarding, but it wasn't because everybody went into it as if it was an Alien prequel. When I think that was supposed to be a secret, and you're supposed to be in a different mindset.
Then when you came out, fucking.
I mean, think about
15
it.
15 years ago, like, before the internet was huge, and that happened at the end of the movie, it'd have been like, oh my god, this is an Alien prequel. That'd have been a great surprise.
What I had heard
was
it was Ridley Scott's return to horror. And Alien, I think, is one of the best horror movies of all time.
Of all time?
Aside from the Winona Ryder.
My favorite horror movie of all time.
Go ahead. Is Alien 1 and 2. Actually, only one. Never mind.
I've seen two space movies this week. One was science fiction, one was science.
You watched
Did you watch the Hubble?
Hubble.
Is it a
show?
Hubble is amazing. It's only like it's literally
it's
45
film.
Minutes long. What?
You said one was silence.
No, one was science fiction. One was science.
Oh God, I'm sorry.
One was a silent film.
Science or sound?
It's a silent film narrated by Leonardo DiCaprio. But man, it was incredible. Right at the end, they do this one thing like. The Hubble takes shots in three dimensions. So it takes a shot of a star that it sees that's like 5 light years away, and it knows that because like it has these little image sensors, so the light gets sent to that sensor, and the light from the star behind that is sent a little like distance apart, like a time difference apart.
I follow you.
So they can kind of fly through space.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And so they do that, and it's all real. And they're flying through these like star clusters, and it's the craziest fucking thing. Like,
I'm gonna get really stoned this week and watch that. That's
it'll scare the hell
scary.
Out of you. It'll scare the hell out of you because like they do this one thing where it's like this one star that's 200 billion light years away.
Wow,
200 billion light years.
I can't even fathom that.
Oh,
ever
God.
See a 200 billion light year away star? Ever see a 200 light years away star? Oh, we.
But it's amazing.
Yeah, and they zoom back.
What's it called?
Hubble. Yeah, it's an IMAX.
I'll check it out.
It's only 45 minutes. Like, make a fucking sandwich and sit down and watch it.
Did you download it or did you
make yourself a good sandwich?
God damn it, I will. I got 45 minutes.
Nice.
All right, let's just get into it. So, the big thing this week is...
Top 5! Well, there's a lot of TV, right? Like,
Oh, shit, yeah, we should
some,
cover that. Okay.
Some
top 5s later!
Some finales and some premieres.
What about, what you've been playing?
No.
We don't have time for that this
week. Are you guys fucking kidding me? Borderlands came out this week!
We're still on movies and TV.
Alright. You're not skipping me on
we're
that.
We're still gonna play the Jimmy Wahimi song into the...
What you've been playing.
What you been playing?
Okay. So, Boardwalk Empire premiered. Did we all watch that? I'd like to.
I watched it. It was crazy. My dad called me right after it came out, like Sunday night. He was just like, "Holy shit, did you watch it?" And I was like, "No, like I don't have because he has HBO, right? So he watches it Sundays at 9 or whenever the fuck it's on.
HBO's.
I was like, "I'm gonna watch it tomorrow," and then I downloaded it and called him right after and. I was really surprised. I'm,
You can't talk about it because I haven't seen it.
Some things I'm really excited to see. Well, it's not...
Like,
how much spoilers can I give you for season 3, episode 1, right? It's just they're setting out the season.
Jimmy's
and,
dead.
I'm really excited for the George Mueller cop, or ex-cop story.
George Costanza.
To see where that's going to go.
That guy's awesome. Michael Shannon.
Like, my prediction is he's going to become a gangster. Because he has nothing else. They're setting up
yeah.
the story for his show. I mean, that was pretty obvious in season 3.
Yeah.
Episode
That's,
1.
He's playing the villain in Superman. That movie
nice.
Has a stacked cast. Russell Crowe, Kevin Costner, Michael Shannon,
guy from Whatever Works.
Amy Adams is playing Lois Lane.
Oh, she's not hot enough.
Get out of
here. Amy Adams is what happened
to you?
Back to my, where I watched.
Amy Adams?
I don't know. She's not even brunette.
All right.
She'll dye. They can dye her hair though. There's
movie,
this thing. There's this thing called hair dye.
Current technology, we're able to do some pretty cool things with movies.
There's something really amazing. A little off topic, kind of related to Superman.
Oh,
I'd like to bring up
carpet matches her pubes.
The difference between
Well, she is quite rich.
The difference between
she's ugly, I don't care
300 and Watchmen, like, from a director standpoint, is crazy. Those movies are so different. Just the way they're filmed, like, the cinematography and everything. She's
old.
Attractive.
You know what she looks like is,
Tom We're Cruise. Fucking old.
Excuse me.
You wouldn't date her?
She looks 50.
She looks old and shitty. What?
She looks 50.
Okay, I zoomed in on a shitty image, okay?
Dude, she looks 50.
She looks like
and
a sack of shit.
She looks like Tom Cruise's ex-wife. That
okay, can we stop talking? I was making a point.
Nicole Kidman. Thank you.
Judging Amy Adams.
She looks like Nicole Kidman, but shittier.
Nicole Kidman's beautiful.
If you've seen her on Plenty of Fish, she was like, Dan, I really...
Dan, I really like you.
I'm not teasing.
Not teasing. You're...
She's a fucking movie star. She should be...
She's a beautiful
woman.
sorry, Doug. What were you saying? Okay, Boardwalk.
Well, yeah, I was just talking about how... Back to the Superman thing. 300, I watched this week. And Watchmen are directed like... I don't know. Just completely different. You wouldn't know it's the same director, and they're both amazing movies.
They do kind of use some of the same tricks, but...
You think so?
But
I don't.
The... You know how they do that zoom-in thing on the fights?
That was really cool.
How they... It's like... It's a wide angle. They zoom in a little bit, and then they go for the extreme close-up.
I guess, but there was so much more in 300 with the fights. And then in Watchmen, there was just so much more.
Did you watch... See, this is why special features pay off. You know how they did that scene?
In what? Sorry.
The... Where they scope in, and they...
You have three separate lenses?
You do know. So they had three... Yeah, you filmed with three separate cameras. The exact same scene on the exact same track.
And then
they just, like, they switch between cameras, like, for him to be able to catch that.
Okay, so they would have done that in both movies.
Yeah, so he has similar tricks that he pulls off. But they are a much different tone.
Yeah, he
like,
doesn't
they,
have
the score, like, in 300, it's like, da-da-da, like,
That would be my one complaint.
Electric guitars.
I didn't like that in the movie.
No, it was
And I thought the music in Watchmen was amazing.
It's amazing.
Like, the supervision, just the soundtrack is gold. Aside from the My Chemical Romance song at the credits, but...
Well, what did you think of the Superman trailer? I mean, let me rephrase.
Lord of the Rings?
Let me rephrase. What did you think of the best trailer of all time for Man of Steel?
I thought it was the best trailer
of all
time.
There were people that hated that.
When he breaks the sound... Well, which one did you watch? The Kevin Costner one or the...
I watched them both, and they were both fucking fantastic.
The Kevin Costner one, I tear up.
It's like,
is that the second one? I think I've only seen the first one.
It's the one
where
the
very world. End. He's
it's the same trailer. It's the same trailer, but the voiceover is different.
Mm.
So one is Jor-El.
Kevin Costner's is better.
Yeah. He's just like, you got to decide what kind of man you're going to be. Whatever you decide, good or bad, it's going to change the world. It's change the world. And I'm just like... So, you can spearhead that. sorry guys, we had a bit of an error with the recording, but we lost about 10 minutes. So we just kind of finished talking about Superman that we thought was really cool. And then we started talking about our favorite characters in Boardwalk. Doug, you were saying...
George Mueller in Half-Face.
Yeah, Richard
Hands
Harrow.
Down.
Richard Harrow. I'm pretty excited for that guy. I think he's great. And then I was talking about some other TV shows I'd seen. I recently got FX HD, so I've been, DVRing a lot of shows. And I brought up the Louis C.K. comedy Louis. And, we talked about how that show gets made, and it's free reign. Louis C.K.'s got free reign over the subject material and the casting and everything. He's the only one who makes decisions. And that allows for him to... be very obscure in certain episodes and tackle things that that most TV shows aren't able to pull off because they're being pretty much told what works and what doesn't, whereas Louis C.K. has more of a free reign. Dan mentioned the Louis C.K. stand-up and how it's just dead on, and then the show is a definite example of that. I mean, it's unmatched.
So is it kind of like Seinfeld? Like it's the
story
of a comedian's life?
Well, he plays himself. Seinfeld is playing a character of Jerry Seinfeld. It's not actually how Jerry Seinfeld lives. Where Louis C.K., it's more like true-to-life stories that are that he just exploits for which funny parts they are and then puts it on the show. And the final three episodes of season three have been this... this three-part arc about him taking over Late Night with David Letterman, of him taking over the show.
That would be awesome if that actually happened. If Louis,
you know what? And watching, because the way the show is made, I was like, is this real? Like, is he going to
take such a sucker for anything like that. I totally believe it right away. Like, all those horror movies that are, like, based on true events, I'm like, dude, it fucking happened.
We talked about that before. Yeah.
So
I'm the most gullible person.
Examples of that?
The Fourth Kind.
The Fourth Kind.
I thought that was, like, a Dutch
movie. Yeah, what the fuck is
those aliens exist.
The girl from Resident
Evil. Oh, dude, it's based on true... Well, you know what? They shouldn't be able to say it's fucking based on true events, and it's total bullshit.
There's a town in Alaska, that's the true event.
Fargo did that. It's completely fictional, and the Coen brothers said,
I hate that.
A true story.
I hate that so much. Just make it fucking fake.
But it gives you this very real amount of tension going into the movie.
Oh, God, yeah.
When you know it's a true story, because you
feel
like...
Yeah, but it isn't a true story, and then I bring it up to you guys later and get made fun of for it.
I don't make fun of you.
Well,
I thought Blair Witch
was
real when I was a kid.
Any of my friends. I thought Blair Witch was real until last year.
I remember watching Blair Witch... being so scared for like a week straight, and then I was up one night late watching Conan O'Brien, and one of the actors was on the show.
And you're like,
I was just like, oh my god, yes! I'm safe! Like, holy shit, I couldn't...
That movie wasn't even scary, it's just fucking sticks in the woods, and they're running around, like, screaming in the dark.
You remember
the
camera?
It's not scary now, but when I saw it in theaters... I was scared.
Dude, the end?
It was the first,
end, like,
the guy sitting in the corner? Like,
that's the scariest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life to this day.
The movie was great.
Dude,
the ring?
The, fucking...
The guy standing in the corner.
The ring?
The guy standing in the corner.
The ring was
face?
Terrifying.
The ring was not terrifying.
That's... You're the only person who thinks
not even ring face?
I'd like to say on this podcast, I'm the resident horror guy.
The ring.
I watch tons of horror movies. I love horror movies.
Okay, what's scary? Realistically, what can I watch right now? If I went to bed tonight, I'd be like... kind of scared.
The Ring...
Horror fans have a rough go at it these days. I mean,
I agree.
My favorite... I would love to watch a movie and truly be afraid of it two days later.
I hear Paranormal Activity 3's got some pretty serious tension.
Not really, man. It's Paranormal 2 and 1.
They're good.
Those are scary
fucking
movies.
They are good
movies,
but the next day you're not thinking about it.
I am.
Really?
I'm up.
You know what?
Something's wrong with the G-diffuser.
The last thing that I brought up before the show got cut off was the show Wilfred. You guys have all heard of this, the Elijah Wood show on FX.
Actually, today...
Tell me more, please.
For the first time, I don't know where I saw it, somewhere online, maybe I saw a picture of it, and it's just like a dude in a dog suit, and I was like, is this a comedy?
It's incredible. The in season one, I've only seen season three, and I can't wait to go back and watch season one and two now. Elijah Wood, he's all broken... He's a broken man in season one, and I guess in the premiere, he attempts suicide and fails.
Okay.
And when he comes back into reality, his neighbor's dog is now like a guy in a dog suit. Everyone else sees a dog, but he sees a man, like this huge Australian guy in a dog suit, and they talk and they have conversations. And essentially, all they do is go and hang out in Elijah Wood's basement, get super high, and just go on little basement adventures.
That sounds like my kind of show. I'm excited for this.
Okay, so, but on the surface, that's what it is. It's just Elijah Wood getting high with his imaginary friend. But in season three, there's like twists of Lost proportions.
What?
Like the...
Really?
Yeah. Like, I can legitimize this show in the season three finale, which isn't a spoiler, doesn't spoil the show. But here's one thing that's in season three. The fake dog takes over a picture that Elijah Wood had drawn as a child. And he's like, and he's looking, and there's another dog in the picture. And you're just like, oh, he's jealous, because the dog always gets jealous. Throughout the whole show, the guy acts just like a dog. It's great. Little dog things you see, and it's hilarious, because the guy pulls it off with a straight face. And Elijah Wood's talking to him the whole time. And so he's like, oh, that's Scrappy. That was my childhood dog or whatever. And he's like, no. And the dog... moves his hand, and he's in the picture. Like, a guy, like, is high, coming up from behind a tree, a picture of a guy dressed up as a dog, and Wilfred's like, who is that? And so it's like, there's all kinds of twists, and like...
I think I just got goosebumps.
I did as well.
You don't know if he's losing his mind, or if the dog's real, or, like, what's happening, or if they're... Or, like, possibly, I don't know, did the suicide work, and he's in hell? I don't know, but, like... This show is bringing up these questions, and it's a fucking comedy about Elijah Wood getting stoned and talking to his dog. And Elijah Wood is amazing in this show.
How many seasons of this?
There's three, so it's not far in.
It's called Frodo's Cooking Station.
I saw the first two episodes of season one, and it is from those episodes. It's kind of dark.
Yeah,
like
it's
dark,
very dark
comedy. I
can't wait to catch up.
It
really
does.
It really does.
It's awesome. I did the same thing. I saw an episode here and there, and because it's on FX, and I just can DVR it all now. I watch it before Louis.
I wonder if I can get it on Blu-ray or DVD or something.
Probably. I mean, show is it on? I mean, what did we see today? Married with Children?
Married with Children.
If that's on DVD, then I'm sure
show
32 discs of DVD for $32. All 11 seasons.
Oh my goodness.
Dollar DVD.
So Louis and Wilfred, highly recommend it. And, you know, if you like Boardwalk, keep listening and... we're going to have a conversation. Email us
in.
Yeah, everybody watch Hubble, too.
Yeah.
45 minutes. Make your sandwich.
If you want to discuss Boardwalk or any of the shows or any of the movies, feel free to email us at podcast@allrangemode.com. Or, sorry, .ca.
Woo!
And here's a word from our sponsor.
Hey, Steve Meister.
Hey, man. Oh, what a day, let me tell you. I lost my job, my girlfriend dumped me, and my dad is gay. What the hell? You know, I gotta tell you, I need a beer.
Well, don't you worry, Steve Meister. Here we are. Wipe that penis off your face, because we have Why Me Beer. If you've ever had it before, you will slap your fucking penis out of the sky. Yes, that's right, out of the sky. There's no need for penises to be in the sky, Steve Meister. So grab yourself a Why Me Beer and quit thinking about why your dad always wanted to give you baths and shit.
E-A-O-I-M-E.
All right, so last week we asked you to submit some top fives. Good friend of ours, Fano, was the first to submit, and you know, we had to give him the grand prize for doing that. For being on board right away and giving us some good suggestions. So we picked top five good games that nobody really knows are good. So why don't we go around and...
So it's games that we love. Like, that we loved.
That's
not
our,
really anybody else.
See, this is the interesting part. It's like, that was the criteria. Top five games you...
I thought it was current generation, but apparently it's not, and it's all over the place. But.
Regardless, it doesn't matter.
Well,
Joe Star.
So how did you pick your list? Like, what did you kind of go through when you're picking your list, Dan?
I was thinking of current gen, games that haven't gotten a lot of buzz from media or critics or anything that I played and I thought were wonderful, and I think other people should play as well. That's what I got out of it.
What about you, Doug? How did you go about picking your list?
I'm gonna be honest with you. Cool question and everything, Fano, but it kind of stumped me. I was just like, fuck, have I played any games that weren't
renowned.
Really hyped up and renowned? Like, that's kind of how I find out about games.
I struggle with
that. And I mean,
as well.
if one of you guys recommended a game strongly enough to me, or you know what? It's kind of the two effect. If like I had heard it from one of you, I'd be like, maybe, man, I don't know. But if two of you were like, you gotta do it, man, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, so going into the list, I feel like most of my games I chose were kind of games that aren't unknown, but I think that were not given enough attention.
Okay. I know Chad spent some time on his list.
Yeah. I had a 2-hour break at school and I really delved into it.
Got up the calculator.
Crunch some numbers.
Well, I think everything today is based on sales. Like, success is based on sales. Like,
most death.
Back in the day, like N64, GameCube, and stuff like that, they had the platinum hits. Like, they have them today, but you know, like a game sold a million copies, and it's considered like a fucking resounding success. But now games if they don't reach a million or like Call of Duty style sales, they're considered duds, and those original ideas are just thrown by the wayside.
And there's gold in there.
Yeah. So I chose games that sold not particularly well, but were that I played beat and thought were fucking amazing.
I'm excited to hear it.
I feel like Chad and I are going to have one or two of the same game.
I struggled a bit too with my list, you know, because I don't play a lot of, you know, through the rough games.
What do you mean through the rough?
Well, I played the, you know, the cream of
cream
the
rough.
Okay, so like
AAA games. What are you hearing about? Like, if games are talked about for years.
I give attention to a game that's not Mass Effect 3 or Mario or Zelda. You know, like, it's I don't have as much time that I spend on games. So it was difficult to come up with my list, but I tried some classics from the past. And generally, things that I think need more attention, or if you haven't played it, you have to play it. Those kinds of games.
Thanks.
Yeah, so that's my list. So we'll go through starting at 5.
Yeah, 5 to 1.
Should we go?
Yeah,
R5s?
Definitely. Yeah.
That's really cool.
And there's
there's
no need for argument. I mean, like,
no.
it's personal list, so
it's opinion.
So let's go ahead, Dan. What's your number 5?
I had an issue with trying to get a 5th. Like, I had 4 that I felt were solid. My 5th was kind of just a throw-in. I went with Torchlight. It's because I'm not a big PC gamer at all, so I never really got a chance to play any Diablo. And Torchlight is essentially a Diablo clone.
Yeah.
And it got put on XBLA. And I had a great time with it. It was probably 10 hours of fun. It's a dungeon crawler. There's really no story.
And
Kyle raped
Torchlight 2 just came out today.
Yeah, it did, actually, but for PC only, correct?
Yeah, and I played it on PC when it first came out.
Yeah, you're the one who actually told me about it ahead of time, but it's just essentially a dungeon crawler. You go through randomly generated dungeons, one after another, just grinding for loot.
So,
and, like, it gets intense. It's fucking, it's fun. Like,
yes.
I find it.
It's really good.
So if you've played Torchlight, you win. Anybody who's played every game that we can talk about, you know, we'll invite you on the show and we'll buy you a beer.
I'll give you
but
one
you have to,
fucking
you have to be able to prove. You have to be able to prove that you've played every game. So Torchlight is Dan's first pick.
Yeah.
Dougie.
Sitting at number 5, I have the Sword and Sorcery Brothers EP. Hashtag Sorcery. The iPhone game. I had an amazing time. It was when I was still living in Toronto, and I came home for the weekend, and Chad was like, oh yeah, check. It was when we first were new to iPhones. He was like, check out this game. So I downloaded it and played it. Or I downloaded it, like, that day when we were hanging out, then the next day, I just, like, plugged my headphones into my phone and played it for 8 hours.
Wow.
It was an amazing game. Just the way everything syncs with it. I mean, there's cool little puzzles where you have to exit the game, go into, like, your phone's time and date settings, make adjustments, go back into the game, and then you can progress based on that. And a cool kind of 8-bit game with a good soundtrack. Just really, like, I feel like you guys know what I'm talking about by that style of game, but just done right.
They talked
awesome
about that
on
Indie Game, the movie.
Mm-hmm. It had a brief...
you know, it's so funny because, like, games are on such a giant sliding scale now as far as, like, how much they could cost. You've got, like, your MMOs that are just, like, feeding out of your Visa every month. You've got the AAA games that are 70, 60 bucks, yeah. And then you've got iPhone games or iOS games, and the most expensive one is like $5.99. And I'm like,
$5.99?
Yeah, when they're like, if it's
I paid $8, I think, or $7.
Infinity Blade.
I've never paid anything higher than $9.
I bought Rayman Run, which is like Rayman. I'm going right into it. Yeah, are you done with your 5th?
I'm done with my 5th.
My 5th was Rayman Origins. that came out last year, November 2011. You know, made by Ubisoft, it sold, it's so sad to say, but, like, it's such an incredible game. It sold 50,000 copies in its launch month on 3 consoles, sorry. PS3, 360, and Wii.
Oh my god, that's combined?
Combined, 50,000.
Jesus.
And the fucking game is incredible. Like, it comes out at the same time as Call of Duty, and it's just cursed.
Yeah, it did get...
Like,
it's got a sequel, which is exciting.
That is
exciting.
And the game...
Marketing?
And the game, no,
it's
just like,
it's tough.
It got stomped out by too many big names.
Wasn't New Super Mario Bros. Wii out, like, around there, too? Or
no, that came out, like, 3 years ago.
Well, it's like, Mario has a fallen, though, but, like, what is Rayman? It's just a game, right?
It's Ubisoft's character.
It's a platformer.
It's a lot like Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah.
It plays similar to
I've never played a Rayman game.
It's... really funny. The music is like really engaging. It
that
looks
game
beautiful.
Is it more adult than like a Mario game?
And
a little bit, not really.
It's cartoony, but it's just like slapstick funny. Like
that is,
you're playing multiplayer, and you can punch the other person that's playing, and like it's really fun.
Rayman 2 was for N64. I'm not sure what else it was on, but it was like
the franchise is that old.
Yeah, it was a call to fame.
Yeah, Rayman's been around for quite a long time.
Rayman 2 was a call to fame. I don't know if it was under Ubisoft then, but whatever team put it together, it was highly recognized, and the brand has been around ever since.
That gets me really excited for the franchise in itself, like coming out on Wii U, like Rayman Legends.
Mm-hmm. Maybe like
hopefully they find an audience that will actually buy it.
Yeah.
Like,
if I do have
the game's
of
amazing.
Origins, it's one of the prettiest games I've ever seen. It's
oh,
a living cartoon.
Yeah.
It's so fluid and like vibrant.
It's incredible. It's $20 right now.
It's
you can buy it for $20.
Mind you, that's my fucking game, and I want it back. You've had it for like 6 months.
So my number five is an old PC game that is a definite standard. If you've you can probably get it for free. You know, you can find it somewhere online, you know, torrents. But I just did quotes. You can see that. but it's called Grim Fandango.
Oh!
And it's a really early LucasArts game. And you play a... there's a whole world of Grim Reapers, and their jobs are to... It's the land of the dead. And you can get work as a Grim Reaper, and so you go like into the land of the living, and that's your job. But it's not even about that. It's really about the Grim Reaper Corporation is this big like faceless corporation, and this guy's like a romantic. He's a skeleton, and they're all skeletons in the land of the dead. And he plays a romantic, and something happens with this chick who goes and visits. I can't remember exactly what he does, but he sets up. Like, he goes and reaps in the real world, and then when he takes them back to the land of the dead, he sets them up with, like, a job, and, like, here's your, you were a good person. He judges how good they were at, in life, and then he sets them up with the correct path. So he ends up getting this, like, bombshell sweetheart who, was kind to everybody, and she ends up getting set on the wrong path,
right.
And he realizes in the corporation there's some kind of conspiracy, so he sets out on an adventure to find and put this girl in, like, resting in peace kind of thing. It's a great game. It's very, very stylized. It's those old style, like, kind of click around where you can press use, pick up, or talk. And
that's
you just walk around in this world. And it's a great experience. And I remember it being one of the first games that I was like, this is really good.
Yeah.
It was two discs. And I was just like, you put the second disc in, you're like, whew, wheels are really turning now. It's a great experience, and I recommend it.
Interesting. My number one is a similar game. But we'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
Alright, number four.
A little foreshadowing here.
Number four, so I'll start off with that. I don't know if this was last year, Summer Arcade, or the year before, but Bastion.
Bought it, never played it.
Wow. Play it.
Okay.
Some people don't like it. Some people do, like me. It's, I don't even know how you would describe that kind of game. An adventure game, camera angles pretty much over the head,
yeah,
kind of thing. There's the thing that I really love.
What drives the game? Like, why should
you
play it?
There's a narrator who's pretty much talking about everything that you're doing. It's very cool. There's like your hub world, and then like you need something goes wrong, you need to fix something. He sends you here, and as you're going, the world is building itself before you're getting to it. Like as you're walking up to it, it's building, and it's just it's got RPG elements, right? You unlock better.
And you can upgrade your weapons.
You upgrade shit, and it's just just hearing the story's decent for an arcade game, right?
It's cheap.
It's like 800 points.
It was so much fun to play. I had a blast.
I beat it twice. I went through it twice. I think there was something for an achievement or something.
Yeah,
like
it was New Game Plus.
Yeah,
and you can get achievement.
I beat it twice just to get the achievement, but like it didn't drag for me. I really enjoyed it.
Fun playing it through the second time too.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Good choice.
Definitely worth checking out if you haven't played it yet.
Doug, number four.
Number four, I'm giving to Castlevania Lords of Shadow. It was a good game. Hideo Kojima had his hand in that. I'm a huge fan of him. Konami.
Kojima Productions. Sure.
Is that
they raid.
Is it side-scrolling?
No, it's like 3D. There is side scrolling parts,
but it's based the Castlevania franchise is based on side scrolling games.
Yeah,
and those are heralded as like amazing games.
That
but this next gen game,
is that
it was amazing.
I
don't know
Evil
how fans of Castlevania
like
didn't just adapt this, get into it. It's a there's a reoccurring theme as my list goes on of like Japanese games becoming less and less popular in this generation, and I think that's a prime example.
That game was unbelievable, man.
I don't know what went wrong. Like it had the backing.
They are
Castlevania
making sequels. Like there's a 3DS title, and they're gonna be making another one. Like it was successful enough because it was Castlevania, but
maybe they sell
not a lot
in Japan.
Of people play.
I don't know the numbers.
Yeah,
do they do super well in Japan that they can just afford?
It's sold over a million copies.
Okay,
but by today's standards, yeah, it's a dud.
Hmm.
But man, that game, like the boss fights,
what a shame, man.
Just those
it's
giant
not Call of Duty, and it gets fucking. Ripped
I know
off.
It sucks.
That's why there's not going to be huge monster games coming out. Because
everybody's going
to
the style of indie.
What do you got for number four?
Number four, I chose Enslaved, Odyssey to the West.
Never heard of it.
It was an action adventure game that was released, I think, like 2009. Very well received. Like it was given great reviews. It was really great. I played a demo for it. I was like, oh, maybe I'm not really that into it. I had the Blockbuster Game Pass at the time.
Yeah.
So I got it.
Oh, those days. I remember
Blockbuster,
yeah.
Eh? Remember that?
I think in the past for sure. But playing through it, it was amazing. Like very well told story. The animation was incredible.
Engaging.
The characters you cared for, like I actually wanted these characters to be well, to succeed.
The voice acting was spot on with that too. The story was funny.
Yeah, well, let's see here. What I have? It sold. Yeah, it was made by Ninja Theory, who made Heavenly Sword for PS3.
Okay. Worst game.
It sold 460,000 copies worldwide between 360 and PS3.
It's $9 in the fucking Walmart bin right now, if you catch it.
And
that is worth a play. I swear to God, it's amazing.
That company now is making the new Devil May Cry game.
Oh, cool. I'm interested then.
When did it come
out?
I think like 2008.
Oh, Doug's listening.
2009.
Devil May Cry. Okay, so my number four is Split Second, the racing game.
Oh, yes.
I love racing games.
You really do like racing games.
Yeah,
right?
Nobody will play them with me. I'm not going to play with strangers.
Do you know Forza?
I would love.
Okay, when's next Forza? Soon.
Well, let's give it some time. Let's
have one.
Fuck it. Yeah. Let's
TJ bought it because I was like, please play this with me, and he bought it, and I never bought it. I never got it.
Sorry, TJ.
Well, I don't know. Money comes, money goes, and sometimes games just get overlooked. But yeah, I love racing games, and like Split Second is just what I want. Like you can. There's drifting and drafting, right? So it's like if you follow behind a car, you'll earn points. For drafting, and then if you like do cool sliding around corners, you'll earn points for drifting.
Right.
And like when you earn points at levels 1, 2, and 3, and if you fill up the bars all in a row, like 1, 2, and 3, you have different levels of ways that you can interact with the map.
No, I haven't played that much.
It gets ridiculously fucking difficult.
I want to play it more. I played. I recently replayed the demo. And when you get the phase two, like you're in an airport hangar, and when you get phase two, you knock over the tower,
mm-hmm.
and it crushes the tower, knocks over onto the track, and you're rerouted. And because you've ruined the tower and the runway, a plane just crashes it's just coming at you as you're doing like a straightaway.
Yeah.
And you're like fuck, and you have to like get around and make sure like you can swoop under the wing as it's like flying over you, and it's all live, and like the camera angle is shaky cam, and it's so exciting, it's amazing, and it's the best racing game I've played.
Well, you just
Forza is the alternate where it's over a simulation, but
yeah,
maybe Forza is a sister to my number
yeah,
four.
Yeah, so Split Second is really arcadey. This is what makes it so much fun.
Sold me on that. Like I'm very interested.
I would love to play with you guys, and like racing games.
I'm sure
with the surround blasted.
have the best sound of video games.
Oh god, the cars!
I can see that.
Because there's a lot of bad fucking soundtracks.
Did you give Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, like the newer one, a chance?
Not at all.
Wow.
Last one I played.
It was so good. It looks incredible. Like, it's really
Forza's unmatched. It's got like real sounds, like the engine that of the car you're driving sounds like the actual engine, and you just got it blaring through like your basement or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's my number four. It's awesome, and I'm glad that everyone seems to be on board to play with me now.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Number three!
Danny Boy.
Number three for me, talked about a little
three
bit.
For me.
Talked about this one
number
a little bit on
me.
A previous episode. Well, Sleeping Dogs. Nobody's talking about it. It was done. It was like, the reviews were good on it. People talked about it for a week, and now that's it. Done. And it's getting overlooked, and it doesn't deserve to be overlooked. It's fucking awesome. It was a lot of fun. The story is good. There's twists in it where I was like, wow. Like, I care, like you said about Enslaved, you care about the characters. I cared about the characters. It picks out from other popular games. It's sort of like, that's what games are these days, I find. If a new game comes out, it's this and this combined, and here's my game.
Yeah.
So it's Arkham City, fight style, with GTA's driving and whatnot, and story progression.
Good story.
Very good story. Like, fucking really good.
What was that supposed to be? Was it True Crime?
It was True Crime. It got dropped.
Okay.
And then it got picked up by another team, and it was Sleeping Dogs, and now it's just a brand new franchise.
Nice.
I hope they do more of them, because I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Like, I think it's selling pretty well. Like,
it's not.
I don't think the NPD came out yet for August.
I was listening to another podcast, and it's like 7th, 8th for August.
Wow.
No good.
Not getting a sequel.
I hope it does.
It's not on the top 10.
Yeah,
it's on the top 10.
Not getting a sequel.
But then
that's
again,
the thing, like,
August is weak for sales every year. It's one of the weakest, like, summer times.
Well, Madden takes the cake for everyone.
Madden sucks my balls off.
It does. Madden does suck my balls off, too.
But anyway, Sleeping Dogs, I promise you, like, if you play this game and you don't like it, I'm not gonna do anything, but I feel really bad. It's fucking good. Just take my advice on anything. Like, if you'll listen to anything that I say in this podcast, it's gaming. That's my specialty. That's my everything. That's what I do. I play a lot of games. I play good games. I play bad games. And I'll be honest with you about anything. And Sleeping Dogs is an honestly very good game.
Nice.
Oh, wow. With a very heartfelt number three, Dan Derby.
It's good. Oh, wait till my two.
Number three.
Okay, number three. It's a game I've been vocal about, I think, in the last couple episodes, and another Japanese game.
Yeah,
it's a game everybody's... Yeah, it's Metal Gear Solid Dick. It's a game everybody's heard of, but I don't think a lot of people have played. Peace Walker.
Yeah.
Originally released on PSP, which, I mean,
completely
right then, you limit your audience.
How many PSPs were sold? Like,
seven.
Yeah, seven or eight.
Seven
or eight PSPs?
Well, that's Vita's. There was like 10 or 12 PSPs. So anyway, it was an amazing game. Like, not crucial to the Metal Gear storyline, but adds so much more. You play as Big Boss, which is like...
You don't even play as Snake.
Well, technically Big Boss is Snake, right? Because you go into the franchise, Snake is a clone of Big Boss. But you know how they're referencing constantly in the game?
No, I'm just kidding.
That's not really a spoiler, because if you played the other games, it's a prequel, right?
No one knows what the fuck's going on.
So, I know what's going on.
You think you...
Okay. So, it's basically a throwback to, like... It's a direct sequel from Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater.
Okay.
And you play as Big Boss, and it's... So, in the story progression, where it will go Metal Gear Solid 3, Peace Walker, and then Metal Gear Solid Zeroes. Those three games... That's how they would progress in a storyline.
Right.
The newest game would be the third in the early games.
Yeah.
Super weird storyline. Anyway, just a great game. Big, the most open world Metal Gear game there is.
Yeah.
Which is really weird that it's
on
a PSP.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend playing the HD ports, especially if you are one of the 7 or 8 Vita owners on Earth. You can get an HD copy. Oh, you know what?
Oh, it's released on that
I'm sorry. No, you can't. You can only get Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3 on your Vita. You cannot get...
That's crazy.
You can't get
Peace Walker. Is it in the HD collection for Xbox?
It's in the HD collection for Xbox and PlayStation.
With Goofy
but Xbox. You cannot get it on Vita, so I apologize. Get it on PlayStation or Xbox.
Not on Vita.
What a mess.
Yeah, I know, eh?
Sony handhelds.
Jesus. Anyway, if Sony handhelds did one thing right, it was Peace Walker. Amazing game. And
well said.
One of the biggest complaints about Metal Gear is the lengthy videos. Peace Walker doesn't suffer from that.
Oh, I never felt
like they meant that to be like a pick up and play.
Exactly.
Kind of thing, right?
And
it
made the game so much better.
That's so much. Yeah, that's
I would recommend you guys play it.
I remember watching Tim play Metal Gear Solid 4, and I'm pretty sure he didn't even touch the controller for, I'm not even exactly
Metal Gear Solid
4
is not that bad.
25 minutes? It was towards the end of the game.
You're saying there's like a 3-hour video at
the end. The final video is 2 hours.
It's a movie.
It's a movie, and it's the best movie I've ever seen.
But does it play like a movie, or does it play like a
it
long
plays like a
video?
Tactical espionage action game.
Okay, so while you're watching,
that's the
tagline. While you're watching this movie, there's no fucking press X now, or else you're just gonna die. Is it bullshit?
No. Can you pause it?
Oh my god, I hate when games
Look,
do that.
You've been playing this game.
With the controller down?
You've been playing this game for 80 hours, and it gets to this banger of an ending from every Metal Gear game you've ever played in your life, and you're just sitting back like, I'm late for work, because I didn't think it would be this long, but this is the best.
That's
yeah,
cool.
I tell you, you're going to see when we finally do the game swap.
Yes.
I don't know if you have 90 hours.
Don't let that discourage you. Like, the fact that anyone says that
I
just pisses me off so much. Like, oh, Metal Gear Solid 4, it's got
no
the two-hour ending. Suck a dick. The game is so amazing, and by the time you ever get to that two-hour ending...
You want it.
Oh.
You want
You're lucky to see that. You know? Anyway, Chad's number three.
Number three. Thanks.
My number three, I'm actually really proud of. I love
it.
This game. I've tried to give it to Dan before.
Uh-oh.
Actually, I made you buy it.
Oh.
But I don't really think you played it.
Shadow Cowboy.
Bulletstorm.
Oh.
Wow.
I had a hard time getting into that game.
Do not play the demo. The demo will not like showcase how good the game is. That was the most fun I've had with a game in such a long time. Like, perfecting, it goes by combos kind of thing. So it's like, if you get a headshot, you get 10 points. If you, all the guns in that game are just really creative. Like, there's a grenade launcher that has, chains on it, two grenades on either end.
That's sick.
And you shoot it at a guy, it wraps around him. And then you have, like, this whip that you whip out and just hit them into the air. And it hits, like, four guys into the air. They all blow up. You get a whole bunch of points. When you perfect, playing that game, it's incredible. Like, there's no better feeling than, like, hunting for achievements and playing that game.
I think that was
cool.
My issue.
That sounds fun.
It's
like,
a lot of fun.
That's
awesome.
A lot of fun.
The beginning
nice.
Levels are, like, introducing you on how to use that.
Yeah.
And you were telling me about how cool some of the combos were, and I felt like I was bad at it. But
that's the thing. Like,
but
you own your ability.
There's not opportunities in the first few levels to do that much cool stuff, aside from the environmental stuff, where it's like you shoot a fucking boulders and they fall on people, and you get a lot of points.
And it looks so good.
It does
look
good.
Like
that.
The set pieces are gigantic. Like, it's made by People Can Fly. Like, it's a developer that Epic picked up.
Yep.
And runs on Unreal. Kind of looks like Unreal.
It looks like Gears, kind of.
Yeah, it's super over the top. Like the the jokes, like they're all like
they're funny. They are funny.
They're hilarious.
They're all dick jokes.
Yeah,
and
dick
stuff.
Jokes that are just like a 5-year-old would laugh at, but it's hilarious. Like, I laugh at it.
We still laugh at farts.
Yeah.
So
our fucking our Why Me beer commercial.
That should be if
that's a real product.
It is a real product.
Yes,
look,
I mean,
look forward to 2013.
Buy it. You should buy it.
I think the next time we do the game suggestions for each other, where we have to play it during the week, and we actually follow through this time, you should tell me to play Bulletstorm. Because I have it, right? It's on my shelf. Like, I could play it.
It'd be super easy for you to play.
And that's sad, but that company's still going. Like, they sold 300,000 to 400,000 copies.
That game didn't do terrible.
It did terrible.
Really?
Yeah. Well, 300,000 to 400,000, that's considered terrible. It's that big of a release. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That had a bigger budget than probably Gears of War. It looks better than Gears of War.
I don't think it had a bigger budget than Gears.
Gears is...
Okay, so
Gears
my...
is a big budget.
Yeah.
My number three... Sorry, yeah, we're on three.
Yeah.
My number three is Hitman Blood Money.
Ooh!
Yes.
Xbox
fucking
good game!
Cool.
Good game.
My recommendation is play that game without firing a single bullet until the last level. Like,
being able to, like, you can run up to your target, and, like, it's all about assassinating certain people per level. You've got a job, and you've got to assassinate somebody. You can run up to them and shoot them in the head, and then try and run and not get killed on your exit, and you'll still beat the level.
That's not fun.
But the game, professional mode is you've killed this guy without being noticed. So they just drop you. It's a very early 360 game, and its flaw is almost its best thing. I don't know how else to put it. Is that they just drop you into a level, and you're like, hey, I'm walking around. And you can replay the levels, right? So you're walking around, you're learning which doors are locked.
You know where guys are kind of thing after a while.
You're learning which doors are locked, you're learning which guys have which access to these rooms, and it's like, okay, do I have to dress up as a chauffeur or a police officer or something like that. Yeah. And like you gain different access by taking stuff out of these people's pockets. And you can rig up like explosives or poison food, and you can go through every level without being seen. And they reward you for it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's an amazing experience to like spend like hours figuring out, and like whenever you click your map, the targets are moving.
Yes,
so it's like okay, there's my target. So now like you can go hide in a closet, click your map, and it's like, okay, this is the room that he goes in at 10 minutes in. You know, you play the levels like, hey, we're 10 minutes in, he's in this room, that's where I'm going to get him. And then you replay the level and you're like, hey, I got to get into that room 10 minutes in, and you just figure out cool ways to kill these people without being seen, and it's just awesome. There's one boat level where you can slaughter everybody on the boat and still get professional because there's no witnesses.
Oh, you throw them off the edge.
Awesome.
Yeah. So like that was the only level I was just like,
my favorite thing about that game, sorry to cut you off, Chad, how much the levels vary. Like, there's the one level where you're assassinating a guy in his house during a birthday party, and you're in a fucking subdivision. You start off it's a gated community. You go in, and it's a birthday party, and there's a guy in a house, and there's people everywhere. You can go into, like, the neighbor's treehouse, and there's, like, a dart gun, and you can kill him in his bedroom, and then you...
Well, not kill him.
Well, no, you knock him out, essentially, in his bedroom, and then you have to work your way up into the bedroom.
Oh, my God!
Kill him. and then there's another level. There's another level that's Mardi Gras, and there's just people everywhere. Like, I'll say 8 blocks large. Like, it's that big of a level.
Yeah.
And you have a target who's...
And that's only going to get better with the next game, I think.
Yeah, this game
I
is also...
only people
this
were
game
on the
is
screen
six,
in the Xbox.
6 years old? Five
yeah,
years old?
Yeah, I think it was a launch time.
Seven! Yeah, it came out pretty much the same time as Call of Duty 2 did.
What I was talking about with the... one thing about the map, I was explaining how the map works, and there's moving pieces to the map.
Oh, yeah.
If I can veer off for just one quick second, on Wii U, when you're playing Black Ops 2, set aside from playing with the gamepad, you can set up the gamepad on like your coffee table and play with the controller. So it's like you've got your weapons and your map like all on the gamepad. So it's like
awesome.
I was thinking like of Hitman when you can have your moving pieces on the map below you, because that game you're constantly like hitting back to the map screen.
Yeah.
Imagine with the gamepad like just docked there, and you're like playing with like, okay, well, I need to use the
missed opportunity. It's not a launch title for Wii U.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just thinking like it could be a cool use for later games, right? A game like Hitman where you can watch moving characters on the map under you and like looking up at the screen while you're just waiting in a closet. And like there's just characters
really
and like
cool.
On the gamepad, like you can see him. You can see on the map, like, walking through the door, and then you just see on the TV screen, like, a door open, and he walks into the room. Like, I just got giddy thinking about that. My number three is Hitman, Blood Money. I recommend playing it for achievements, trying to get through the game without being seen, and it's so much fun.
I think I got 750 out of 1,000.
You know what? I didn't beat the last level on Professional yet, and once I do that, it's like... Every level on Professional, every level on Hard, every level on every level on Easy. Yeah, but I never did it yet, so I only have like 200 achievement points.
Right.
So we're down to two. Number two.
Yeah.
Hitman Absolution, sequel to Blood Money, is coming out November 20th, 2012,
which will probably be much greater.
Very excited.
Yeah, it's gonna be incredible. That makes me really excited because I didn't even play Blood Money.
Oh my god.
But just
hearing, I'm going to be the one that waits for Absolution.
Right, so. Yeah, just hearing people talk about this, there's no way you're not excited.
Like, the one that sounds so cool, like going in, like just having an open world to
figure
out. I got to get this guy. What
and the
I
thing
do?
Is, it gives you the ability to kind of figure it out yourself. There's multiple ways.
I was playing with Tim a long time ago, and there's this level. The target is this guy's Muldoon, and you're at his like yacht. His ranch house or something like that.
Okay.
And Tim couldn't figure out how to get this guy Muldoon dead without being seen. So he just kept getting seen over and over again. It's like as soon as you're seen in this level, the guards are everywhere, and they're like, "Oh, there he is!" And they start shooting.
He looks a shooter.
And as soon as you start getting shot at in this game, it's difficult to survive. So it's like...
Those ballers...
That's what
shit.
I was
going to
say, the ballers. That was the coolest thing about the game.
These guns, they're
oh my god.
Essentially,
yeah,
they're desert,
earn those.
They're desert eagles, essentially.
You've
got two of
them.
If you're just blasting people with two ballers, they're doing fucking backflips, man.
Okay,
they're,
so... That was so
awesome.
So,
that was my favorite part of the game.
The end of my story, so Tim couldn't figure out how to kill this guy. So, like, he's playing it, and he's like, fuck this. He runs into, like, the mansion or whatever. They're like, hey, you can't get in there! And just runs past the guards.
Yeah.
And he goes into the next room. He knows where Muldoon is, the bad guy, the target, because he's played the level so many times. And he just goes, fuck you, Muldoon! Shoots him in the head and books it out of there. And just like, oh my god, oh my god! He's running out of there. He gets in, like, his little boat and takes off. Level B. Like, he didn't get any achievements, but he's like, fuck you, Muldoon! It was like, this is the best thing I've ever seen. Like, you tried so long to poison food and steal outfits and whatnot. And,
yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. I played that game with Kyle. It's a pretty enjoyable experience.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Number two!
My number two, we already pretty much talked about it. Chad named it. It was Enslaved. I had
great game.
Amazing time with this game. It's fun.
It's like, everything, man.
Like, Chad talked about it enough. We're running a little long. Number
oh, platforming sequences. I didn't mention the platforming.
They're fun. Like, it works well.
Yeah.
It's not a broken game. For a game that was cheap right off the bat, I feel like it was cheap. Like, it wasn't a $70 game.
Oh, it launched full price, but within,
dropped.
Like, 2 weeks.
It dropped instantly. Yeah. So, for like, a fucking, like, a bulk bin thing at Walmart game, like, that's your best pick.
Doug, number two.
Andy Serkis was in it, by the way.
Was he?
Andy Serkis did
Monkey?
The motion capture.
For Monkey.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Monkey's the main character, and he kind of moves like a monkey. He's got long arms, but he still looks like a person.
He's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Number two, sorry, dude.
Number two, I'm giving to a game we've all heard of, but I feel like didn't get good enough press. Final Fantasy 13.
Really?
First off.
I don't even know. I just did
second
that based
off,
on reviews.
It is amazing. Like, Final Fantasy X was one of my favorite games of all time. No, it was just a Final Fantasy JRPG that came out to consoles this gen.
Oh, wait,
Xbox
that's
and
the one where they say the first, like, 4 hours are
40.
You're tunneling
40.
Or something.
Man, all it is, anyway, it's like, Final Fantasy X for PlayStation 2 was one of my favorite games, and I had hoped that a game like that would come out on the next generation console, and that game was Final Fantasy 13. It didn't evolve in weird ways, it's linear, and it got a bad review for being linear, but it's a JRPG, and it should be linear.
Yeah.
So,
is it
you should play the game. It's
is
amazing.
It is it as drastic as they say, where you're running in a straight line for a long time, like, or is there more to it than that?
You're not running in a straight line for a long time and just holding down the joystick forward. Like, you're encountering battles and leveling up your characters, and it's great. It's an RPG. It's a JRPG.
Yeah,
it's done super well. If you were a fan of PS2 JRPGs,
if you're a fan,
I don't know how you
would. Period, it's gotta be.
If you're a Final Fantasy fan, this is a great game.
Yeah,
I would recommend.
It ruined a lot of like Final Fantasy for a lot of people that love Final Fantasy. Like Drew Kretsch.
I had heard a couple things like that too, but I feel like
love Final Fantasy until 13. I remember talking about that.
Well, 12 out of 13 is not bad.
Yeah,
I mean,
right? 13 games.
Well, yeah, that's true, but
there's more than 13.
Getting lost with Final Fantasy. So there's 13-2.
It's a huge franchise, but
did 13-2 come out, or is that coming out?
So
it's out.
It's out. So I haven't played that. But 13 was amazing.
Number two, another very arcadey shooter, made by Platinum Games,
just say they made Bayonetta and they're making Metal Gear Rising. It's called Vanquish.
Ah, we saw that at EB earlier too.
Yeah, I mentioned that at EB, and it's made by Shinji Mikami. Shinji Mikami did he created Resident Evil and like Devil May Cry. He was the original designer for those games.
Oh, cool.
And
so he was the original designer for this game?
Yeah. And unfortunately, like, it didn't sell well. It sold like shit. But
Sega, right?
Yeah, like produced by Sega.
Yeah.
But man, it's so much fun. Like, it's super fast. Like, it's very, very arcadey. When I say arcadey, I mean like you have this like power suit that makes you run faster than everybody on the battlefield.
You can slide.
Yeah,
like
you do flips, and it's very acrobatic. Like your suit has like little jet propulsion units. So like you flip forward and you slide towards the person on the ground.
I remember
it's awesome. It's really, really fun.
I remember when we had that Blockbuster Game Pass, I got that. It just caught me in a bad week where I was busy with work or something. I didn't really get a chance to play it too much, but the first hour of the game, I was like, this game's fucking awesome. And I saw it at Walmart for $9.99, so I'm picking that game up and I'm going to play it.
$10?
The only reason I didn't buy it is because the box was fucking raped. It was so beat up and broken. I'm pretty sure it was ripped. I was like, that box is bad. I ain't paying $10 for that.
Did you guys hear Nintendo like rescued Platinum Games?
How so?
Because they were being published by Sega, and Sega just said, we're only doing our own stuff. Like, the times are tough.
And so that's why they made Bayonetta
2, and Platinum Games has another Wii U launch title called like Wonderful 100 or something like that.
Yeah.
And Nintendo, I guess, just like, we'll take care of it. Like, I don't know. But now they have that.
Good.
They've got exclusive Wii U games, and like all Bayonetta fans and like PS3 fans and Xbox, they're just like,
no.
Like, they've lost like a.
What's crazy, like, Rising or Revengeance is still coming out that way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, obviously Nintendo's not publishing that. Imagine that. It's like, oh, remember this game? It's not anything but Wii U.
Oh, shit.
Never going to happen, but I mean, Bayonetta is Wii U exclusive. So maybe they did the same thing with Ubisoft.
Bayonetta sucked ass. I hate Bayonetta.
I've never played it.
Me either.
But look at Ubisoft. I mean, Rayman Origins didn't do much, and Nintendo's like, you want to make a sequel? We'll help you out.
Sweet.
Wii U exclusive.
Give people opportunities to.
I don't think it had anything to do with Nintendo. I think Ubisoft found a market saying that. You could probably
Walmart.
Sell copies.
But
because kids
Rayman Origins was on
Rayman.
All three Mark was on all three systems.
And it didn't sell well.
So what's the difference? They're putting on less systems.
It's a launch title. It's being a launch title.
That was your number two?
Yeah.
Number two.
My number two is Punch Out for Wii.
Oh yeah.
Which is remarkable. It's like the funnest. Yeah,
it's good.
Marc-Andre had that game, and he's like, you want to play Punch-Out? And I was just like, okay. Like, I liked it back in the day. And,
yeah, I didn't
it's
even
like
know that
the
ever
new,
got remade.
The new cartoony art style fits perfect with the game, because it's all about, like, really high frame rate, and, like, you know, you can watch your opponent's, like, eyebrow twitch, and you're like, ha! That's their tell.
Yeah.
And you can play through that game, and, like, every boxer that you fight has a different tell and like a different structure. It's like he's going right, and then like and they warn you with every single thing. It's like you get your ass kicked over and over again. You're like fuck, and then
it's
you're
the greatest
dead.
Puzzle game,
yeah.
You're, ever.
You get every level is like a puzzle,
yeah.
And when you get it, like you get that star, like you know, remember in the old the SNES or the
Power Punch or something,
the NES game. Yeah, it's like you hit him in the right spot. And it's just like. you've opened up the punch. You just like you hit it, just like do, 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 and you just slug them, and it's so rewarding and
that
so
was,
much fun. We sat down and played it for like
eight hours. There was
yeah.
one night where I went to Joe's house before I even lived there, and Marc-Andre had it. It was all hooked up on his TV, and he's like, I was like, I'm not really interested in Punch-Out. We played it
within 10 minutes. We're both like. I'm
all of us. We figured out like that Arabian guy. I remember his fucking he's got this a turban on, and there's a gem, and the gem would change color. And like for whatever reason, we weren't picking up on this gem. Like it goes red. I don't know how we didn't see it, but
yeah.
I ended up being the one to beat him. And I was like, I'm fucking hooked.
They were probably drinking coffee. I mean, it was me, Dan, and Marc-Andre in the basement.
Excuse
there's no
me.
Other way to do it.
We were fucking hammered.
So like we're all on board. Just like yeah. As soon as somebody, like,
we took,
figured it out.
Yeah, we just passed it around the room. Like, you get one, like, pretty much a death if you lose the
pass
on.
Match for match.
And I ended up being the one to beat him, and I was hooked.
A great experience. Damn, I was like, pushing out his chest, and I
this guy.
Making himself as big as he could be. Yeah, it was an awesome experience, and I think the game got... It was in the winter of Wii when this game got released, so... You know, overlooked by many. Amazing time.
Solid game.
Such a great game.
Nice.
Number one, Daniel!
To number ones.
Number
okay,
one.
Now let me say before I even get into this that...
Don't take my number one. You're going to take my number one. We're probably all going to have the same
no.
number one.
No!
It may be similar. I didn't even mean to do this.
All right, let's say it.
We're gonna
I know it is.
I know
number
you're number one.
I don't think this is it.
I hope it's not.
So,
does it start with M?
No.
Right.
Yes!
It does not start with M. So, I was just looking at MPD things, and apparently... games that were released in stores and stuff, Darksiders 2 was number one. And it sold fucking, let's say, 350,000. I'm probably not correct on that. I don't care.
You're ballparking it.
Ballparking it. But that excludes arcade games. Best-selling game of August across all consoles was Walking Dead Episode 3, which sold...
Really?
Yeah, a significant amount
wow.
more.
I mean, you and I both bought it.
Yeah, I did. But this is the only reason I'm bringing this up is because it's not in stores, it's not talked about too much on anywhere.
They advertise the first one, but not the new.
Yeah, if you turn on your Xbox, it's not featured, it's not talked about, it's nothing. You got to go looking for it in the marketplace. There's 3 episodes. They come out, I don't know, a couple months apart. They're cheap. They're 800 points a piece, so $10. It's done in seasons with 5 episodes a piece. So far we're into episode 3 of season 1, and it is the most engaging, like, heart-wrenching story. It's Walking Dead. It's the show, but not the show. Like, it's separate characters in the Walking Dead world. You're making the hardest choices I've ever made in any video game.
Wow. Choices you make in episode 3.
I'm not.
Phenomenal. It's just like, oh my god,
dude,
I don't have time to react
okay,
to this.
Listen
and
to
by
me.
The time you get to episode 3, it's just like...
That's the thing. You have choices to make, right? Like, and the strongest part of the game is the story and the fact that it affects you so strongly.
That's really cool.
It's pretty weak in the sense of, like, gameplay. There's not even inverted controls. Did you notice that?
No.
You don't, none of you guys play inverted.
What?
I play inverted. There's no inverted controls. You can't change it.
Okay.
The frame rate's really bad.
Whoa.
Too.
The frame rate does have issues, but at the same time...
But they rush those games out there, and I want them rushed.
There's no fucking zombies running at you, and you're having to shoot their heads off. That
yeah.
never happens once.
It's a slow...
It's a very, like... it's almost a point-and-click adventure.
Like an interactive story.
It's
exactly.
almost,
that's cool.
It's almost a point-and-click adventure with a little more heated moments. You will die maybe once or twice, or at least I did because the controls were fucked up. But... I can honestly say...
What the hell is the gameplay?
Like, a zombie will be
really
walking
neat,
at you. Man. Like, for one example, like, I'm not going to spoil anything for anyone who's going to play it, because you should. It's the fucking greatest game. First encounter with a zombie, you're pretty much, like, you fall down, and there's a zombie walking at you, and you have to put the cursor over his face and hit A, and you, like, boot him in the face. And you have to do it repeatedly. Now, I'm inverted, so for me, down is up, and up is down, so I'm having to, like, do it backwards. Like, it's kind of having to be ambidextrous,
so
and I'm not. So I did fine. Like, I didn't really have any issues with it, but the story alone is enough, and it's beautiful. Like, the game looks like a comic book.
Nice.
It's got a very cool art style. It's got a little bit of hiccups with, like graphically, but it's not even an issue. It doesn't matter.
I just want to ask a quick question about, you know, have you felt the weight of your decisions in episode 1?
Yes. Okay,
episode.
Now listen. You have opportunities to save one or another person in episode 1. Those people are still alive in episode 3. Like, it your choices...
Okay, so that,
your choices
is dead.
Your choices matter, and Doug's game is completely different from my game.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
From episode 1 to 3, and they come out months apart. I luckily didn't jump on the bandwagon until episode 3 just came out, so I got to play all 3 of them. Back to back to back.
What did you play first? Played one.
1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Yeah. I just bought them all at the same time. Like, I heard 3 was incredible, so I was like, sweet. I'm going to play them all. Now I'm kind of disappointed because I have to wait till 4 comes out to play.
But there's only going
to
be 5, so I mean...
That's for season 1. And then there's going to be other seasons.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that was it. There was just 5.
I fucking hope not. Because this is incredible. Telltale Games nailed this. It's incredible. It's the first time I can honestly say in my entire life...
That's number 1.
It brought me to tears.
Number 1.
From the tears!
I literally was welled up and I had a tear roll down my cheek from a fucking video game that's never happened in my life.
Look out!
It's happened many times.
Can you bang the female characters?
Male's fucking me?
I have not, but there's like a love interest.
Ooh, dang.
So you've chosen a love interest, not just not been given one.
Yeah.
Right on, cool.
I chose it.
Mine's dead.
Mine's dead as well.
Aww.
Shut up and die.
Poor guys. Doggy, what's number one?
Ooh, number one.
Some careful thought went into this, and it is not a next-gen game. I'm going to have to give my number one.
I'm so pumped to hear this.
Next.
To The Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver 2.
Wow.
That's a bold statement.
One of the most incredible games I've ever played in my life.
Do you know what I remember about that game? I'm sorry to cut you off.
Well, no.
The color blue. Now
sorry to cut you off.
The game is amazing. It was made by Crystal Dynamics, which had a partnership with Silicon Knights. And from what I can tell, things kind of went weary with them in the next gen. And, like, their studio just kind of got, like, picked apart.
You
and whatever.
To
torn to the dogs. And they, for that reason, they never made a next gen Blood Omen.
Knights?
No, I mean, Crystal Dynamics never made a Blood Omen or Soul Reaver game for this generation of consoles. And Soul Reaver 1 was the first one I played. It came out for Dreamcast in 99. That game was amazing. I thought the story was so cool then, because having gone from the Blood Omen story origin with the vampire and, like, you were cast aside and you have to just, you transport into the soul realm where you have to just eat souls to get back, like, you never die in the game. Oh, man, it was so in-depth and just anything could be a weapon.
That's
in 2001 PS2 times, that was amazing. I love that game so much, and ever since, I had always hoped for a Soul Reaver 3, and it's the greatest
disappointment. I thought you were talking about remaking that.
From what I can tell, the studio's no more, but I mean, obviously, yeah, anyone could pick it up and remake it. I would love for that to happen. They recently put them on the PSN.
They did?
Maybe that had something to do with it. That was 2009, they put...
Or something like that. Okay, Legacy of Kain. Anyways, I heard something before that they were going to be...
That'd be the best day of my life, that announcement. I love that series. Blood Omen 2, but Soul Reaver 2 is my one.
We've only had one repeat title so far, which is...
I'm actually pretty surprised.
That's unbelievable. I thought for sure you're going to have Walking Dead on your thing. I couldn't...
It was amazing, but I knew you were going to pick it.
I know you did, because I've been talking about it like crazy. You know what my alternate number one is Coors Light Iced Tea.
Coors Light Iced Tea, you're we can announce, honorable mentions. But Chad, what was your top game? Top good game that no one knows is good. Close the door, man.
Here's the thing. My number one, apparently, I've asked people at school, I've asked people at work, it's like that when I worked there. Everybody has played it, but no one has beat it. And it's Mirror's Edge.
Oh, you did. Yeah.
Mirror's Edge is my, not just my number one game that no one's played, but it's my number one game of this generation. Like, it's my favorite game. I love playing that game. I borrowed it from Dan last year, and I played it again just trying to get, like, hunting achievements and stuff. Yeah, and you have to play through it just like Hitman.
Were you able to get through it without shooting?
Yeah, I did that the first time, but it was a pain in the ass. Second time I did the same thing, I was just a lot better at it. Like you get better.
Okay.
And just the sound design, the art design, everything about that game, it was made by what the hell did I put down here? Illuminate Labs, in association with DICE. So DICE makes Battlefield.
Oh, yeah.
And
it does. It runs Battlefield.
Yeah, and Battlefield 3, like where you jump over stuff.
Yeah.
It was influenced by Mirror's Edge.
You know, like, Kyle ruined that game for me. We were planning to try and get the achievement without killing anybody. You know, you're a pacifist in that game. So if you can get through, like, you can disarm people. Like, you'll run up to them and give them an elbow in the face and then take their gun and throw it over the side of a building or something like that. And we got far enough, and we just got stuck, and then Kyle just started killing people.
And you're like,
I was like, this is, I'm done with this experience altogether.
But it's,
wow.
It's the controls are very precise. That's
yeah.
the thing about, like, if you can't perfect the controls, pick up a fucking gun and start shooting people. You're not gonna have as much fun because shooting people is not very satisfying in that game.
Yeah.
But like if somebody's shooting at you, you run at them really fast, dodging the bullets, you slide, kick them in the face, take their gun, hit them with the gun, throw the gun, get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And you're just climbing up walls, like,
well,
let's get out of here.
It's talking about the color in that game, which is genius.
It is
just that the very bright white lights,
and then you can interact with is red.
Yeah,
that's
everything is red. The design is
it's great.
Fuck,
you know my instant selling point of that game was the first time you make a long jump off of a high building, you get that the wind sound, like the.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we
jumped off the cliff?
First time we went cliff jumping?
Yeah.
And that was the only way, because we're so fucking nerdy, the only way we could explain the situation.
That
was
fucking mirrors.
Mirrors edge. Like, where you start to reach like terminal velocity and you're gaining speed as you're falling towards the water.
Yeah.
And you can just, you can hear the air like.
That's the thing, everybody has an experience of Mirror's Edge. They remember playing Mirror's Edge. Not many people have beaten it.
I didn't beat it.
Go back, beat the fucking game. This is so good.
I got every achievement I could.
On rooftops.
Yeah.
I got every achievement I could up until maybe halfway point, and then another game came out. I think it was Red Dead actually came out, and I was like, fuck Mirror's Edge.
Well, wait a minute, Chad, did you play the DLC for that game?
Yeah.
It was much more like a Mario platformer, where like it was just interesting levels that you could run through.
Yeah.
And there was like all time trials and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's like an arcade like that. Like, I, to try and get through to get achievements on getting the best times, I went on YouTube and watched like best walkthroughs. There are people that there's a meta game within the game that people just perfect. Like,
you're not getting it through faster.
Yeah, like seeing these people go is just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like,
you want to see some shit? YouTube, New Super Mario Bros. Wii fast times. It's disgusting because there's four of them and they're working together to like get towards the others, jumping on each other's heads and shit. It's weird. It's,
wow.
I recommend YouTubing that, and I'll post one of the videos on our Facebook so you guys can all see.
So that was my number one. Everyone, you probably have it in your collection already.
Well, we saw it for $10 today.
It's cheap.
And they want to make a sequel. I heard, so that's something.
And it's available, actually announced today, strangely enough, on PSN and Xbox Live Marketplace for $14.
Cool.
That's cheapo.
Buy that shit.
So I have a bit of a, it might be a bit controversial, my number one, because I know it was, highly, like, celebrated as far as critics are concerned, and I'm pretty sure all of us have played it, maybe not Doug, but my number one is Metroid Prime.
Oh my god.
This game... I'm sorry?
No, he hasn't played it. Come on.
Metroid Prime is quite possibly the best first-person shooter of all time. It's fucking... It's so amazing, and like what Nintendo was able to do on the GameCube with that game, where it's such a great and fulfilling experience. Like, the way the map is used, they were able to take a side-scrolling map formula and translate it perfectly into a 3D world.
Oh, God.
You're constantly looking, like, it's the Metroid formula, where there's a door you can't get to without a certain weapon.
You come back.
And you might get that weapon, 20 hours from now. So, it's such a great, complete experience, and it looks beautiful, and, like, it's the first time where, I don't know why they didn't do this with Halo, and this is something that I'm going to continue to talk about. The visor of the character is in front of you the whole time.
Yeah.
And the HUD is all based on the suit that you're wearing. If, like, there's a bright explosion, you see your own character's eyes squinting behind it. And it's, and, like, and the stuff that, like, mist will get on your visor, and the character will wipe it off. And, like, this is a GameCube game, and they were remarkable. And, like, there's one visor that's, like, X-ray. And whenever you do get hit with something, the character's hand rises up in front of you, and when you're in the X-ray vision, it's the skeleton of the hand through the X-ray.
That's so awesome.
It's such a well-polished game made by Retro Studios, who apparently stopped making games 5 years ago. Because there's nothing out. I can't wait to see what they're going to pull off. But here is the icing on the cake for this game is that one of the lead designers from who developed Metroid Prime, it now works for 343 Studios, who is developing Halo 4. And I don't know if you've seen the videos for Halo 4, but there's giant Metroid-like creatures running around, and you're fighting boss fights just like Metroid Prime.
Yes.
And that gets me very, very excited for that game. Like
the whole new species look Metroid Prime-ish.
Yeah, listen to me. If you haven't played Metroid Prime, play it. It's
on the Wii. Like they had the Metroid like
the Metroid
trilogy.
Yeah, the trilogy. I recommend playing it with GameCube controls.
I've never played a Metroid game behind that. That's the thing. Like
it seems like such a weird
Nintendo
franchise.
Super Metroid is three times. Super Metroid is groundbreaking, and Metroid Prime is like Super NES.
Super
NES. Do you remember when Zelda came out for N64 and it was like they took the over-top game, made it 3D, and it's like, this is exactly the same game in 3D with better graphics. Like, obviously, the graphics are dated now.
Yeah, yeah.
Retro Studios took that game, and when they said they were making it first person, nobody knew how it would work. And like, they pulled it off in strides. And they, like, even when you do the morph ball thing, it adds a whole other element to the game where, like, you're crawling through different side-scrolling little caverns and caves as like this little marble, which is just awesome. And in most first person shooters, the character doesn't progress as much as you would in Metroid Prime. You're constantly finding suit upgrades, and now and your character changes appearance with these upgrades, and you just feel like a badass by the end of the game. And you can rape. And
what's the story like?
You're a bounty hunter, and I'm not sure exactly what order the stories are in, but essentially you're getting hired to rid the galaxy of, or different, you know, planetary systems of these, vermin. Yeah. And
the Metroid.
And they drop you on a planet, and you're isolated. It's you alone on this planet, and the maps are enormous.
Metroid Prime, you crash land, you lose all of your upgrades.
Every Metroid game, you lose your upgrades there at the beginning, or else, you know, like,
okay.
That way you've got to earn.
And you're getting them back, yeah.
Yeah, you've got to earn them all back.
And then when you get them back, it's the most rewarding feeling. You brought up two awesome things that I would love to see in a Halo game. The simple thing of debris on your visor, and the character just wiping it off.
They do that in Battlefield. Battlefield 3, they do that.
Do you see a hand come up? Or does it just fade?
Okay, they could make
the
hand.
I understand that, but that is cool, and I would love to see that. And
no,
in a game like Battlefield, I don't think you could do that because
Halo.
If you had a hand going across your face, you just got shot in the hand. You're
dead. I understand that Battlefield's on the game, like Halo. Why not just like
go Halo away. Multiplayer?
No,
hand
no,
no. Face,
single,
got a hand.
Single player. And some type of.
Halo 4 looks fucking amazing.
You feel
upgrades.
Immersed.
I
feel
love.
Immersed.
I'm all about upgrades with games. Like if you get
Halo
something,
Halo
it makes
1,
you better.
The
I love it.
The visor was there. The visor was always there, like behind the mask of Master Chief.
But it was. It's never pulled off like this.
No.
Oh no, not at all.
Where like
they won't show his face.
The fact that when there's a bright explosion and you just like
yeah.
You only see it a couple times in the game where she squints and she's like and you're like oh my god because it's just this bright.
Oh my god.
We running long?
We should wrap
2 hours.
Yeah.
That's a decent...
Like, we can die in, like, 6 minutes. I mean, it could get to church.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of done. We got our,
is that good? I feel great.
Yeah.
I'm so glad
I love top
had
fives.
This conversation.
I love top fives, and I love being here.
Thanks for listening, everyone. This has been awesome.
Hey,
I hope you play some of these
submit
games.
More top fives. It's going to be tough to get to them all. I mean,
we got
a few
other suggestions last week we may look into. Probably will.
Oh, I have some runner-ups real quick.
Oh, email!
Oh, boy.
PBZ for Xbox Live. Bitrip Run for Wii.
Get a charger!
Donkey Kong Country for Wii. Hey, go get a charger.
I don't really have any runner-ups. I actually kind of struggle with my list.
What do you think?
What?
You want to go emails?
We got to do emails.
Yeah.
Listener email!
It is separate.
We'll make it quick. We'll make it pretty quick. So.
All right. Written from Mike Soto. Listener Mike Soto asks, do you think Curiosity will find aliens on Mars?
No.
That's a very interesting question. It's a shame we don't have much time to...
They're barely finding water. Or they haven't found water. They found where water was. So no.
They found old ice.
No.
I'm pretty sure...
They're gonna find Prometheans. Or Protheans.
Protheans?
Yeah, they're gonna... That thing's gonna dig. It's gonna hit a big piece of metal.
Something's lives here.
Is it... Does it... Can it... Cave?
It can just pick it has a shovel. Like a very...
If there's anything living on Mars, it's not on the surface.
Yeah, that's true.
We would know about it. It would have evolved a little bit.
No, but something metal underneath. Something that lived there before. Something that was watching us.
I hope so. That'd be nice. But there's probably no Martians on Mars. Thanks for the question. I wish we had more time to discuss it.
Thank you for the relevant question.
We got a story from Will. He said he was listening to a podcast last week.
Our podcast?
Podcast. He had his headphones on. He was in the bathroom at work. And when Joe said Charlton Heston, instead of Clint Eastwood, he was in the bathroom. He laughed out loud, like really, really loud. And there was a guy in the stall next to him who just farted. And he was like, he thought he was laughing at the guy who was farting. The guy thought he was laughing at him. And he was like, fuck you, man. Everybody farts. Don't worry about it.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
good
timing.
Listener, beware. Make sure you're not next to somebody who's shitting while listening to the podcast, or else they might get offended.
Oh, that's good.
It's good.
You know, we did have a couple... Do we have more, or...?
What? No, that was it for...
There was
some hate mail from...
We did have a couple more, but we are running long, so we'll leave you at that. Thanks for listening. You know, you can always... please tell your friends to have a listen. We hope everybody's liking us. Obviously, email in if we're saying something you don't like, and we can talk about it next episode.
Or if
you just want to say hello. You can email podcast@allrangemode.ca. You can also check out our Facebook. I'm sure you've been to the Facebook at this point. We are on iTunes now, so just you can search in iTunes All Range Mode, and we'll pop right up. And you can subscribe. Our episodes will get downloaded directly to your computer when as they go up. So keep listening. Thanks for the early support, and take care.
All Range Mode.